If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. I got some great news. The hump in Hump Day turned out to be benign.
What does it mean to you now when the team is struggling?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
Seriously? How lame was that?
Well, Mr. President, a final thought here about this big game is the energy is just picking up by the minute here in Houston.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a...
Listen to that. Is that guy drunk or what?
I think it's going to be a very close contest. But, you know, what the heck do I know? I'm just a president.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. It's great to visit with you.
And did you know that the OC Weekly has staples in their weekly? They do.
And now...
Thank you very much. I think it's safe to say that the opening went pretty darn good.
Our feature presentation.
What exactly... In what context would anybody on the radio talk about a paper that had staples? I mean, how do you get to that point from wherever you start?
Look, we've talked about some stupid-ass stuff over the years, Kevin. I mean, sometimes you never imagine where the conversation's going. Having said that, Rodney talks to himself.
Yeah.
It's not like somebody led him there.
It's not like he has his version of Bean who reads obscure facts and spouts them out because he can't help himself.
Right.
How dare you?
He just somehow got from, hey, it's K-Rock, to look at this, there's staples, and that's a talent right there.
The other thing I think is maybe he was looking up something in the OC Weekly, and as he was flipping through the pages, somehow it surprised him, and he was just overwhelmed by the realization that they had staples.
How overwhelming are staples, Bean?
Well,
Wouldn't even cross my mind.
When you're Rodney, you got to remember that he grew up in a time before there were staples. So
before there was
him,
paper.
Yeah, before there was paper, right. Remember when the written word came in, Rodney? You know, that's the kind of conversation you had with him.
Absolutely.
And I think he's still shocked by technology.
Yeah.
I guarantee he's never seen a television. I guarantee that.
No, that's true. Instance. Or a radio.
Or radio.
Enough.
He doesn't even know he's on the radio.
Right.
He just does what they tell him.
We just stand him in a place and say, talk. Talk about staples. Go. All right. I'm an a-hole. It's Thursday morning. It's the 30th of November. So I'm running a little late. Oh, sorry.
Why are you an a-hole? What happened now?
I'll tell you in a second.
Oh, you want more?
Yeah.
I'm going to miss her so much.
Yeah.
She's just sucking on a candy cane, folks. I don't know what you're thinking.
You with your dirty minds.
Seriously. It's a messy eater.
I like it.
Put some on your face.
Okay, that's it.
All right. I'm an a-hole. Here's the deal. Left late again. I've given up. I'm a very positive person. I am a guy who thinks if you put your mind to it, you do it. If you don't, it's your own fault because you didn't take care of business. You can do anything you put your mind to.
Right.
Can't leave on time. Can't.
That's it? You're done?
Throwing up my hands, I give up. I give. It's not possible. Every morning when I get into, you know, get on the internet and stuff, and I think to myself, okay, this morning, damn it, I am not going to be late. I'm so tired of hurrying.
So you're all, when you get on the online, are you all ready to go, like dressed and everything?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Okay, so you just have to turn off your computer and walk out the door.
Yes.
How can that be so difficult?
I don't know.
Have you tried masturbating at night instead of in the morning?
Oh, God, both, yeah. What do you mean? Just one time?
Okay, all right.
No, but I have the drop dead time. I have the, if I don't leave by this moment, I will be late.
Bean's right. Is it porn? Are you getting into the porn?
No, not in the morning, but I should try that maybe. Maybe that would help. So 10, 11 after, I'm really getting into some trouble. So every morning I look at the clock and go, all right, today I'm going to quit doing this at 5 till 5. That way I can be in the car by 5 and I'll have plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I glance up and it's 11 after 5 every day.
I am surprised when I'll get an email from Kevin at 10 after 5. I wonder how that works sometimes.
I am powerless. I cannot, no matter what I do, leave on time.
Okay, how about this? Crazy idea, I know. What if you put some, I know this is going to sound absurd, but you've tried everything else.
Right.
What if you put like a giant fire alarm at the end of your driveway that you know is going to go off at 5 o'clock unless you're there to turn it off? You set it at night, and if you're not there to turn it off before 5, it will go off and wake up your family and the whole neighborhood.
The whole neighborhood. Wow.
I mean,
that's some pressure.
Think about the pressure if you knew there was a fire alarm that was counting on you being outside.
Yeah, that would not work because that fire alarm would go off all the time.
Well, just what about to think.
Maybe I need an alarm
in that room, yeah,
near my computer so that when the alarm goes off, I stand up and walk. I don't know. I just can't do it. But so I was driving really fast this morning, and I turned the corner, and there was this white van in the driveway. Yeah. At K-Rock. So I say, oh, my God, I'm so late, and I can't believe there's some a-hole sitting here in a van. He's in my way. He obviously doesn't work here. And he was just to the left. I could squeeze by him, and I got out my card, and I opened the gate. And as soon as I did, I was trying to roll my window back up real fast, and the guy goes, Kevin, Kevin. And I said, hey. Seconds are ticking away. I know that Bean's just about to start the open. I'm not going to get here. He said, hey, I got some donuts and stuff. And I said, I was dumbfounded. I was like, okay. I have to go really fast, but I'll send somebody back out. Because I didn't know what to make of this guy.
Well, right. Yeah, maybe he has donuts, maybe he has grenades.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's either donuts or grenades.
There's no in between.
Can't be a knife or a gun. It's got to be a grenade.
First thing I would have thought, it's that creepy Scientology dude from the calendar signing.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
The other ambush.
Oh, the guy that was on the ship with Elrond?
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, I got another video for you.
So anyway, so I make him wait outside because I don't know what to make of it, and I don't have time to check and see what he's about.
Search him down.
Right. So I run in, and I get in here just in the nick of time, and I send Lightning back out. I say, hey, Lightning, go out and talk to this guy. He seems like he's expendable. He seems like he's okay, but yeah, if he's got a gun or a grenade, I don't want to be there. I want Lightning to be there. So, sure. Light, tell us about our friend outside. And this is why I'm an a-hole.
Well, he's a fan. He's a huge fan. And said that he had emailed you and Bean and just wanted to express his appreciation for the show, his laughs over the years. And he brought us two boxes of Krispy Kreme. He basically raided a supermarket. He went in and got pies, strudels.
Are you kidding?
He has a fresh pizza. Somehow he figured out how to get
pizza?
A fresh pizza. Yeah, there's a pizza in there. And, of course, I was so taken aback. I'm like, what? And he says, oh, I meant to get breakfast burritos. Sorry about that. And he shoves money in the bag. I'm like, okay, we can afford breakfast burritos. You know what I mean?
Really?
And I'm like, no, hey. And at this point, my arms are so full of stuff. I can't reach back in and give him his money back. And I'm like, take this. And he's like, no. And he runs through the gate because the gate's now closing. I don't have enough hands to push the button to reopen the gate. So it's closing. And he hops out the other side and runs towards his van. I don't even ask him his name.
Oh, my God.
Like, how many people does he think work on this show?
Hey, don't care.
I don't know.
It just sounds like enough food for Edie. That's why I'm asking.
It is.
By the way, heard a lot of food there. No egg whites?
No
organic whites.
No organic broccoli.
So all sweets for us.
And this time of year, we are conditioned that everyone that we run into wants acoustic Christmas tickets. That's why they do whatever they do.
Sure.
Everybody wants to go to the show.
Not this guy.
He didn't say, hey,
this
is there any
is
way?
A random act of generosity.
Well, I don't like it. We're all assholes.
I don't like it.
We are. You don't like it, Bean?
I don't like it at all.
So much anthrax on that food.
Yeah. There's definitely rat poison in the donuts. Yeah. There's something going on.
It's
going
to have that. It's going to have that undetectable poison that
the
spy just got.
Radiation.
Yeah.
Radiation.
We need a thing, the Geiger counter to check the food.
Look at us. We can't even accept a decent gift from a good guy. We're scared.
You eat it first.
All right, listen. Is Droopy here or Napalm? Or Gouda?
I think
who's
it's
our intern?
Napalm.
Napalm?
Nobody here yet.
Dude, if it's Napalm, we're going to have, or Gouda, really, we're going to have, any of the three, we'll have them eat it. We'll wait an hour.
That's a good idea.
See if they foam at the mouth, and then we'll eat.
But he's glowing green!
I like it.
to you, the K-Rock listener that dropped that off, that was awesome.
Thank you.
That was really nice.
Yeah, and Light it's on. Very cold and very early to do all that.
It was a quick encounter, but did he seem like he might have been Al-Qaeda? Maybe the time is now.
Oh, no.
I mean, he had the beard thing going.
Did Omar put out the signal?
That's what I'm wondering.
Oh, no.
Interesting. I don't think so. He looked like just a nice guy.
It can't be.
He's on his way to work.
Yeah, he's on his way to LAX. He's out of the country is where he was.
This kind of thing doesn't happen. We're so conditioned.
Well,
that
clearly he's not from L.A. Let's be honest.
True.
He's from someplace in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And he just moved here.
Well,
was it Chip?
It was not Chip. Internet predator? No.
All right, we got to move on, but we'll get an intern to start eating that stuff, and we'll see how he does, and then we'll try some later.
But if you're listening in your white van, you're the coolest. Thank you. Sorry I had to rush by you, but I was really late.
I don't know how I feel about it. I'm going to be the only one left standing by the end of the show.
That's true, yeah. This morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Oh, great. So much stuff going on.
Many stories, including Britney's Vag, which, by the way, opening the Acoustic Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh, Sam Anderson, Kid Rock, all the entertainment news. We'll talk to him coming up. We also have audio, I believe, from KFED at the House of Blues. Have you heard any of that? Did it come out?
I have not heard any of it, no.
Do you know if it came out?
Ask Omar right
now. We have a CD of the actual show last Wednesday night when Omar was screaming at him.
Yes.
So I think we're going to play some highlights of that. Somebody that was there taped it and sent it to us.
Awesome.
And that's awesome. Firefighter hazings. Got to talk about that story.
Oh, yeah.
I'm livid over this story.
Well, you know, the city council didn't overturn the mayor's veto.
Awesome.
So it'll probably go to trial.
Excellent. I'm fine with that. Let's see. What else do we have? Bob Dylan coming up just after the top of the hour. I don't see anything else important. 7:15.
I believe how to buy tickets for K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006 at 7:15 this morning.
Whoa.
Yes, today's the day.
Yeah, today at 7:15 is the answer to all of your questions, which is when and how can we buy tickets? So 7:15 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:51.
7:15 this morning. Details on how to buy your tickets for K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006. You will not, I promise you, you will not want to miss that announcement coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to the Showbiz news, allow me to clear up the mystery for you guys.
The mystery?
About Al-Qaeda?
It's not Al-Qaeda. It's our pal Chuck.
Our pal Chuck
brought us breakfast. Let me read you the following email.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Oh, you have an email. Great.
Hi, Ralph. I'm a longtime fan of the morning show. So I got this last night, by the way.
Okay.
My daughter and I came down to hear you sing with Eddie Money a while back.
No kidding.
Well, not so much. But you were very gracious, this idiot who wished you good luck before you went on stage. Mike was also very nice to me when I bugged him for a year for pics from the Halloween party. He finally came through. Dave hooked me up with pit tickets for STP a few years ago. The best time ever. I go to a lot of K-Rock events, and I'm always impressed by the effort that goes into them. I hope to get tickets for both nights of Acoustic Christmas this year. Yeehaw. He's not asking for them, but he just said that he's hoping to buy them. Anyway, I have to go to Oxnard for a class tomorrow, but I picked up something for you guys for breakfast, as I promised someone sometime I would. I used to drink way too much. So thanks to everyone on the morning show for all the years of enjoyment, except for that bastard who spit on me from his helicopter on the way to a concert.
Hey.
Merry Christmas, Chuck in the 909.
Oh, how about that? He's a frequent emailer.
Oh, I know.
We know Chuck, yes.
He did used to drink too much.
Yes, I started to get you guys a card, but then I thought, geez, only a gay guy would get a card. So it's Chuck from the 909. He is a frequent emailer, and he is the guy who provided us breakfast with us.
Chuck, very nice. You need to move out of the 909 because you do not fit there. You're a kind soul, and you don't fit. You got to move.
We really appreciate it, Chuck. Yeah, it was very nice of you to do.
Absolutely.
So do we have an intern yet that's tasted it? No,
We do have an intern here. We're gonna make him. We're gonna take one of the donuts and put it on a slice of pizza, and then put a crawler on top of it, and just make a big mashup and have him.
What did they just bring? What's in that brown sack that's next to you?
I don't know. It says bean. It says bean on it.
Oh, it's a piece of toast.
It's a piece of toast.
I don't know if that's gonna travel, Bean, but we'll get that up to you as soon as possible.
What a bird to not be there today.
We'll send it up. Thanks, Chuck.
Isn't it funny though that Ralph read that very nice email from Chuck, and everybody has been nice to him except for Kevin and me.
Yep.
What's up with that?
Mm-hmm. I wasn't mean to him.
I just spit on him from his helicopter.
I wasn't to him. I just didn't have time to suss out the situation. I hadn't read
to deal
email.
With the little people. No, we understand. We know how you are, man.
Yeah.
Stop it.
When you're a high roller like you, you don't talk to regular
stop
people.
It.
We understand.
Exactly. Both of you, stop it.
Chuck, if you've got people, have them make an appointment with Mr. Ryder.
Right. Chicks make a lot of money in Hollywood, too. So stop bitching, ladies. Actually, they're not bitching, but the Hollywood Reporter has released its annual star salary top 10 list, and they did a separate list for the ladies this year, so you can see how much women are making and in the big Hollywood showbiz deal. So here you go. Jennifer Aniston makes $8 million a picture.
Wow.
Pretty strong from an ex-friend.
It's kind of surprising because most of her movies haven't been all that successful.
Yeah, that's true.
It is true.
With the exception of The Breakup, I think most everything else has kind of been below expectations.
Yeah.
Number nine, Kirsten Dunst makes $8 to $10 million a picture.
She could afford to fix those teeth.
Yes, she sure could. Angelina Jolie making 10 mil per these days. My girl, Charlize Theron, makes slightly over $10 million per film.
Good for her. She
all
deserves
well deserved.
It.
Yes, they yes, should yes. give her more. She should be the highest paid actress in Hollywood. Halle Berry makes $14 million a movie. Can
really?
You believe that?
Wow.
Talk
woman
about
a Catwoman gets $14 million a picture?
Talk about not having a lot of hits, except for the X-Men series. I'm hard-pressed to think of a big smash that she's had.
Yeah, that's true.
Monsters Ball, I guess.
Yeah, but that wasn't a, you know,
it was more like a critical favorite.
Yeah.
Cameron Diaz, as you can imagine, she's up there with $15 million a picture.
Sure.
Slightly over that is Drew Barrymore at number four. A little more than
that. Oh, that's tight.
A little more than that is Renee Zellweger at number three, making well over $15 million a film. Wow. Number two, Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
I was expecting, well, yeah, that makes sense.
She makes upwards towards $16 million per film. And the number one earner for women in Hollywood?
Tina Fey.
Tina Fey. Julia Roberts?
Julia Roberts. No, Lisa, not in the top ten, by
the
way.
She hasn't made any movies
she
in a while.
She hasn't worked in 3 years.
Last thing she did was a play on Broadway, and that paid you about $1.95 a day.
Right.
So,
see, this is funny, because when you said Reese Witherspoon at two, I figured, well, Julia Roberts has to be number one. So who could it be now?
Knocking on your door?
Right.
Yeah. Who could it be?
I don't know. Who could it be?
It's going to be really obvious when you say
yes, it.
It
will.
I'm going to hate that I don't
Oprah.
Know it.
Oh, no. Oprah, yes. Her films are smash hits.
She does all over the box. New movie every day.
We give up.
Nicole Kidman.
Oh, sure.
Nicole Kidman makes over $17 million per film.
And another great example of someone who isn't in hardly any hits.
Yeah, nope. She misses
it's
a
weird.
Lot.
A lot of high-profile terms of critical acclaim.
She's very talented.
Yeah, she's good.
But you're right, Lisa. I can't think of the last smash she was in.
Oh, good for her.
Maybe Moulin Rouge was maybe the biggest moneymaker.
I think you're right, yeah.
Recent moneymaker, anyway. So, of course, Days of Thunder, but that was a while ago.
There is that.
Yeah. Mel Gibson has come out to speak about Michael Richards.
Excellent.
It was just a matter of time.
Excellent.
Yes.
Do you want to correct his view of the world?
Yeah, he said it's the Jews, not the blacks, are the problem. No, a lot of celebrities are starting to talk out about this whole Michael Richards thing. By the way, did you hear yesterday? This is not the story I was going to talk about, but he once went on an anti-Semitic rant in a comedy club.
Michael Richards.
Did you hear that story?
No.
Yes.
Also, the same sort of meltdown went after some guy and calling him a Jew and all this stuff. And then he protected himself by coming out in the press and his publicist and said, well, Michael Richards is a Jew, so he can't really be anti-Semitic. You know, it's obviously he was just under a lot of stress. Turns out, not Jewish.
Not Jewish.
You're
not
Jewish. Kidding.
No, not at all.
He came out yesterday and said he was black, and I don't believe him there either.
Anyway, Mel Gibson has offered his take on the whole Michael Richards thing. And not surprising, to me anyway, he offers his support.
Really?
Feels bad for the guy. He said, I felt like sending Michael Richards a note. I feel really badly for the guy. He was obviously in a state of stress. You don't need to be inebriated to be bent out of shape. But my heart went out to the guy. I like him. So Mel there giving some support to Michael Richards.
Well, I'm sure Mel appreciated those that were willing to stand up for him publicly when he would have his trouble, you know, over the summer.
He also said he's impressed by Michael Richards' obvious attempt to get with African-American groups and leaders and make apologies, and he's trying to do the right thing. So he said that goes a long way, which I think he's got a point.
One of our emailers mentioned that Jesse Jackson is calling for a Seinfeld Season 7 DVD boycott. Is that for real? Have you heard anything about that?
I have not heard about that, but it strikes
because,
me as funny.
Yeah, I can't imagine that's the call.
By the way, in the no publicity is bad publicity department, sales for Seinfeld Season 7 up 97% over sales for Seinfeld Season 6. In terms of the DVD
really?
Sales. Yes.
Do you think it was just a higher profile people know it's out because of this?
I don't
probably.
Know.
And they didn't last time?
I guess so.
Huh.
But anyway, big boost in sales for the DVD box set.
They're all looking for that extra episode that you found,
that's
right?
That's right, yeah. Danny DeVito did a drunk interview on The View this week. I don't know if you saw any of it. He apparently was out late partying with his pal George Clooney, and he came on The View to promote his new movie, Deck the Halls, and he admitted that he hadn't been to bed yet. And was cursing his seventh limoncello. I don't know if you know that, but it's an Italian lemon liqueur that you get after dinner, you know. And so apparently he was pretty buzzed when he came on. And he went off on a rant against George W. Bush, most of which had to be bleeped out by network censors.
Because he was swearing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also started talking about how he and his wife, Rhea Perlman, made sure to utilize every available surface in the Lincoln bedroom when they stayed as guests at the White House.
That is not a good visual.
During President Bill Clinton's administration. Yeah, you don't want to think about that.
No.
Apparently, most of the crew enjoyed themselves and laughed along with Danny, except for, of course, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who is a staunch Republican, and she kept trying to switch the conversation to non-political topics,
yeah.
But drunk Danny wouldn't budge and kept going on his political tirade. Apparently, DeVito's representatives say he's going to call Barbara Walters at some time later and, I don't know, maybe apologize a little bit.
They were having a lot of trouble reining him in, Ralph, and he's so funny because he sounded just like the drunk character you do. I mean, it really was just, it wasn't like he was a little bit drunk. He was hammered.
That's awesome. That show could use a little life in it. I'm glad to see
that. A little open bar, maybe.
I was listening to it, audio of that over the radio yesterday. It sounds exactly like Kevin in Vegas. It does. I mean, it's like,
how dare you?
Now, if somebody innocent goes to jail, it's the price you pay.
That's right. That's
the price exactly what it was like. You pay for justice.
Look, you can't.
How do you live for yourself?
You can't take me to Vegas and expect me to be good.
Well, we never really expect you to be good.
All right, good.
It's a good thing about being you.
Yeah.
You're off the hook. Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes have purchased a British mansion to add to their collection of homes. They just paid $4.75 million for a six-bedroom home just outside London. Okay, let's see. They got one in Telluride, Beverly Hills, a couple others, London. They got about a half a dozen.
Wow. How much time do they spend in England that they need a home?
I don't know.
A couple days, you know.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
You got to have a place to stay.
If they do go there, they want to have a house. That's what I'm guessing. Any place they visit more than once a year.
Everywhere he goes, he just buys a house.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Ethan Embry. You know the actor?
I know the name.
He's a real good actor. He was in Sweet Home Alabama. He played her gay friend that she outs. Did you ever see that movie?
No.
It's a real good movie.
It looked awful.
He was also in That Thing You Do. He was the bass player in That Thing You Do, the Tom Hanks movie about that one-hit wonder band from the 60s. Anyway, real talented actor. Apparently, he was robbed at gunpoint in his own driveway in Studio City on Sunday night.
Was it Chuck of the 909?
I don't believe it was, no.
He showed up at the driveway?
He and his wife came out into the driveway, and apparently two guys recognized him in the street, and he thought they were fans, and he said, hey, aren't you the guy in movies, whatever? And he said, yeah, and they pulled out a gun, and they mugged him right there.
Oh, nice. No.
Then you must have money.
Took his wallet, some other stuff. What he did, right after they got into an SUV to drive away, raced into his house, pulls out a shotgun, comes after them, and they say fired a couple shots. Yeah. The police don't know whether it was directly at the car of the muggers or just into the air, but he came out. He came out.
Guns a-blazing.
Guns a-blazing.
Love that.
Wielding some firepower, so. It's good for you, Ethan.
Jeez, did he have his shotgun, like, right behind his front door?
Yeah, it was loaded,
too. Tore ass into the house, came back out. Boom. Today's celebrity birthdays, Dick Clark. Dick Clark before he dicks you, I always say.
Thank you, Ryan, very much. It's real good to be back with you again this year.
77 years young. Never been in better shape.
That's
Dick.
True. And Kevin is pleased that Mr. Clark will once again be appearing on the New Year's Eve show.
And you're not. I'm sorry, not did I bring all. In the tape of him last year?
It's just sad.
Did I play it over and over?
No, we had to recognize it once ABC made the error of doing it, but we don't rejoice in the idea of him embarrassing himself again.
No, he's making that decision.
We're begging them
to not.
He's an adult.
He's making a bad decision.
He can make that decision for himself. He doesn't need you guys' input.
Billy Idol. Pal of the show. He's been on a couple times. He did Acoustic Christmas not too long ago, a couple years ago.
And he's fantastic.
Longer than that. He's great. Great performer live.
He stopped growing at 28. He's been 28 ever since he was 28.
He stopped aging. Yeah, that's
aging,
sure.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and a guy who's never lived a harder life. Motorcycle accidents, drugs, partying all hours of the night.
Disgusting.
Looks about 15 years old.
Exactly.
Really evil.
That's the way to do it.
He's 51 years old today, actually. Ben Stiller, actor, director, is 41 years old today. Gay Aiken, singer from American Idol.
Clay.
I'm sorry, what'd I say?
Clay, you said gay.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's 28 years old today. Alicia Cuthbert.
Oh.
Kim, of course, from 24, is, in fact, 24.
Petros Papadakis, you like Alicia.
Oh, I love myself the Alicia Cuthbert. Like to soak her in canola oil and lick her up.
You are becoming Sylvester the Cat. Kim is 24. Isn't that odd? Isn't that ironic?
24.
24.
How about that? Ooh. And she's on that show.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, there's that, too.
She's on that show.
And Sandra Oh.
Ralph's the love of Ralph's life.
Actress from Grey's Anatomy is 36 years old today.
I feel like someone set me on fire.
I wish someone would. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's a good time to be the hammer, ladies and gentlemen. On the line with us now, our pal Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, the most popular entertainment news site on the whole goddamn internet. Thanks to the hard work of Harvey and his crew. Harvey, welcome back to K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, but Kevin and Mike.
Hey, how dare you?
Hi, Harvey.
So, before we talk about all the news, how surprised were you when the 60 Minutes camera crew, Kevin and Psycho Mike showed up in your office with a camera and microphone last week, Harvey?
You know, it really has given me a new outlook on how these poor celebrities are accosted by these shameless photographers.
Those photographers and paparazzi are just the devil.
Yeah, but I got over it.
Okay, good.
It was very funny. They were filled with glee the day they were going down. They're like, oh man, I can't wait till the end of the show. I can't wait to go down and pull it on Harvey. It's going to be so funny.
I can't believe my staff sold me out this way.
Oh, his staff was awesome. We called him up. We said, don't tell Harvey, but we're going to ambush him. And they said, ha ha, that's awesome. And they set the whole thing up. It was even after the live CD signing.
Oh, that's right.
Down in Signal Hill. And Mike and I were tired and we thought, let's go see Harvey.
Yep. Harvey, we don't have time to get into it now, but your staff hates you, just so you know. Okay. So you could do all Britney all the time right now. She's given you nothing but material since the split, right?
Speaking of, yes.
The split. Hey, thank you.
Since the separation with her husband, it seems like she's out every single night just doing nothing but giving you content.
I mean, you know, the funniest thing is yesterday I got a call. Guess who did an article on this or called me to do an article on this? The Wall Street Journal.
What?
No. Oh my God.
on the crotch shots.
That's disturbing. You should say no, Harvey.
Why would the Wall Street Journal have anything to do with that story?
You know, I guess it's a money shot.
See that? See what he did?
Harvey has a poll on TMZ.com, by the way, and this is why we love him. You won't see this in Entertainment Tonight. The poll is, whose crotch shot rules? Is it Britney's, Lindsay's, or Paris's? And if you must know, Britney right now, way out in front with 48% of people who voted on the site, say that her crotch rules.
Now, Harvey, you say in your article that she has shown everything two nights in a row and three times in a week. I don't remember three different
situations. We've only seen one, I think.
Situations.
No. It's,
help
I mean,
us out.
There have been definitely two.
What were they?
And look, I mean, we're not, I mean, I know this is going to sound crazy to you, but this is not like an entirely salacious kind of thing. I mean, I think, you know, we're not showing it as graphically as everybody else. We're putting a red line in it. But, you know, at this
a red line.
Although we did do an article called Leave It to Beaver.
Nice! See, that's why he's our kind of entertainment reporter.
But, I mean, look, I think the point here is, you know, she is one of the most bankable stars in Hollywood right now. She really is a huge star. And she, you know, everybody kind of had all the sympathy for her. And I think there's just a real issue. The way she's handling it all, is it helping her? Is it hurting her? And I think people are looking at this. It's become, I mean, I think that's why the Wall Street Journal, you know, called. Because I think it's become like this huge thing about, is this the way stars continue to be bankable in Hollywood?
But Harvey, let me ask you this. How old is Britney? She's got to be what?
Right. She's 25 now, isn't she?
Okay. Any woman who's 25 years old knows how to get out of a car without showing her beef. What's going on with her? It can't be intentional, but I can't understand why it keeps happening then if it's not.
You know, I got to tell you, about 4 years ago, I was working out at a gym in Los Angeles, and she came in. And she was there for like an hour, and I watched her, and she is just, she just doesn't care. I mean, she was actually this really, she was really sweet and down home, and she was great, but I just don't think she cares. I think she does what she wants to do.
But Harvey, she's got to care about,
I'm really serious.
I know, but afterwards, she has to care about those shots, doesn't she?
Well, maybe not. I mean, maybe she just thinks it's funny. I mean, look, she's hanging out with Paris Hilton, for crying out loud.
Yeah, well, that's not a good move either.
But, you know, I mean, I don't think this is kind of who she was before she married this guy, and everybody was thinking of her as an overweight mother and wife. And that's really not who she was at her core. And she changed that in a big hurry, everything except the mother part.
And it was nice of her to show us that core.
Yeah, no kidding. So do you think that, I mean, not to give Britney too much credit here, but do you think this is the reinvention of her image? She got the haircut. She lost all the weight. Now she's thinking, hey, I got an album coming out in a few months. I really need to start revamping that sex pot image that was so effective for me to help sell records back in the day.
I mean, I really do. And I think, you know what? When she was growing up, the world was different. The celebrity world was different. And I think she kind of figured that out. And whether this is going to work or not, I don't know. But I think that's what's going on here. I mean, I think she clearly wants that comeback. And I think she's going to have it if the CD's any good.
I'd like to put out the message that we're not sure if it's going to work either yet. So you better keep trying. The jury's still out.
Haven't seen enough.
Right.
This is Harvey the Hammer Levin on the phone. We're talking from TMZ.com. We're talking about Britney right now. We got a bunch of other stuff we're going to get to. But what kind of a relationship, Harvey, did she have with Paris Hilton before this suddenly very public, hey, we're BFFs all over the press the last few days?
None that I knew of. I mean, this just kind of came from out of the blue. And, you know, it's the trifecta for the paparazzi. I mean, Lindsay Lohan's there from time to time. And it's just, you know, they know what's going on. I mean, they know what they're doing when they're out that publicly.
Right.
I mean, this is all calculated.
They know they're going to get photographers everywhere. They all three get followed for that, you know.
And they're going to places like Hyde, especially where they know they're going to get noticed, too.
Listen, they know the game. They're playing us. They're playing us.
Hey, fine with me. Play us, sisters.
Harvey, did you hear...
Who did you expect her to hang out with?
Yeah, well,
Leslie Stahl.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, the first Leslie Stahl reference on the Kevin Abid Show in 2006.
Dude, the first Leslie Stahl mention ever on the Kevin Abid Show.
She's a 60 Minutes reporter, for folks who don't know the name. Harvey, I don't know if you had a chance. I know you listen from time to time, but you're also very busy. I don't know if you heard what happened at the Federline concert last Wednesday night at the House of Blues with Mike and with Omar. Yeah, but apparently they got into a screaming match with him from the audience on the stage. This show went on, much to our surprise. The impression we got from people at the House of Blues is they gave away, like they were giving every employee 20 tickets to do what they want with because they didn't want to cancel that show. Is it over now? Is he done? Is he not going to do any more shows? Is it finally over?
I think the funniest thing, I did hear that, and I thought the most hilarious line was when Mike asked the valet if he was busy, and he said, not so much.
Not so much.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of says it all. I mean, he's finished. I mean, you know, the guy's, he's finished.
Oh, that's so sad. I'm going to miss him.
Was it true, Harvey?
No, but the best part is the press release that came out yesterday that Kevin Federline said he's spending quiet nights with his lawyer.
What? Quiet nights with his lawyer?
We got a press release saying that, you know, Kevin is basically, you know, domesticated now, and he spent a quiet night with his lawyer.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, who lawyers up in a quiet night?
Yeah, no kidding. Is it true, by the way, that she cut off the credit cards and stuff and that he has no money?
Well, I heard that she cut off the credit cards, and based on what he's been doing, I'm guessing it might be true.
And Harvey, one last question on her, and then we need to take a break. Hopefully you can stick around for another.
I'm at the airport, so I'm going to walk to the plane, so it's going to be a little crazy, but that's okay with you.
Okay, yeah, we'll put you on hold really quick. My question for you is, you know for a fact that there is no Britney Spears sex tape.
Well, I think there's no sex tape because, you know, the people I've been talking to, I think they get really embarrassed at this point if it ended up being so. So I don't think there is one.
Harvey, we are not satisfied with that answer. We would like there to be a Britney sex tape.
Call another website.
How about the Jessica Simpson tape?
Pardon me?
Jessica Simpson.
Don't know.
Sex tape. All right.
Okay. Know. All right, Harvey, I know you're at the airport. We're going to take a very quick break. We'll come right back and talk about Pam and Kid Rock and Tracy Morgan and some of the other cool stuff that's going on. TMZ.com is the place. Harvey Levin on the line. We'll be right back after this on the World Famous K-Rock.
We got Harvey the Hammer Levin on the line. Good morning, Harvey.
Hey, guys.
We want to play the Christmas piece that you did for our CD.
Cool.
Kevin Amin, Super Christmas.
I haven't heard it yet.
How did you get this interview? Because this seems like it's a scoop. No? Okay, here we go.
This is Harvey Levin reporting for TMZ.com. We have just received confirmation that this morning at 2:43 a.m., Santa Claus was arrested by North Pole Sheriff's deputies for SUI, slaying under the influence. According to the Sheriff's Department, Claus was flagged for speeding in a 2006 Blizzard Master XL sleigh, allegedly flying at 80 miles an hour in a 45-mile-an-hour zone while being pulled by 8 tiny intoxicated reindeer. A sobriety test revealed the famous gift giver's blood alcohol level to be 0.12, exceeding the North Pole's 0.08 legal limit. In addition, during the arrest, Santa was reportedly out of control. Sources say he tried to evade arrest, was abusive to the arresting deputies, and was heard spouting racist comments. As always, our TMZ cameras were there.
My life is you mother I'm gonna you. Don't you know I own the North Pole? I will spend all of my money to get even with you. Car, elves.
The elves are responsible for all the wars in the world. Are you an elf? I bet you're a f***ing elf.
Put your head down.
What do you think you're looking at, sugar plum?
After hearing the comments from less than jolly old Saint Nick, a spokesperson for the Elf Defamation League made the following statement.
We have seen the videotape and we have heard the repulsive remarks made by Mr. Claus. And unfortunately, we elves feel that we have no choice but to boycott Christmas this year. Despite our long working relationship with Mr. Claus, we cannot in good conscience build any toys for him, help him load his sleigh, or participate in any other traditional holiday preparations. Let's see how that fat racist reindeer f***er does on his own this year.
How will this falling out between Santa and the elves affect Christmas? I don't know, and frankly, I don't care. I'm Jewish. For TMZ.com, I'm Harvey the Hammer Levin. Happy Hanukkah.
That is a chorus from Kevin Amin's Super Christmas CD, available at just a few Best Buy stores around Southern California. It's mostly sold out, but we want to thank Harvey publicly for the time to put that together. Harvey, from TMZ.com, what's going on? What's the real story between Pam and Kid Rock? I mean, couldn't people...
It's really kind of... interesting, because this is not the typical divorce where they're fighting over money or they're fighting over kids. They're fighting over image. Yeah. And they were literally both. They have their process servers at the courthouse steps. Kid Rock, his process server was there on the steps waiting for the doors to open on Monday.
Right.
And literally, they raced in. They filed within 5 minutes. And then she followed like 53 minutes later. And it's really all about, you know, them saying to each other, I left you. No, I left you. And it's all about kind of an image thing. The divorce itself, there are no kids. The money thing's not going to be an issue. There's no prenup, but they weren't married that long. But this is all an image divorce.
So it's like high school. I dropped you. I dropped you.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I love that. The story that we heard that can't possibly be true is that what set it off for Kid Rock is that he was upset with her portrayal in the Borat movie. And that's just not true, right?
It can't be. I mean, it's like he didn't know she was a big part of that movie.
Right.
Come on, he has to know that. And I'm told. It's just not the case, but they got in some kind of a big thing because it happened right around Thanksgiving, and something really bad happened to fire them up.
Is it true, according to the report that I read, that he's upset that she's always out partying?
I mean, that's what he's saying, but I can tell you from people, I know a lot of people who know her, and she's really a good mother.
That's what I thought.
Not like the kind of person that leaves her kids at home. I mean, she really is a good mother. She takes her kids to school all the time. I mean, she's really with them a lot.
And Kid Rock doesn't seem like the kind of person who's going to stay home and take care of the kids while she's out partying. That didn't make any sense to me.
No. And, you know, I mean, usually, look, you've seen enough of these. The truth always lies in the middle. It's kind of like a Hasselhoff thing. I mean, he can't be that much the devil, nor can she, and neither of them are angels either, and there's something in the middle in most of these
cases. I think they figured out he's a hunter and she's a spokesperson for PETA.
Yeah, maybe they should have thought about that before they got married.
There you go. I mean, that is like your first warning sign, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, Harvey, what about, and I can't remember where this came from, it may have just been generated by the tabloid TV shows, but it was said that Pam suggested that maybe he had some anger issues, maybe some temper problems, anything to that?
Well, I mean, the thing that's kind of hilarious about that is, I mean, she was married to Tommy Lee.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I mean, there was a whole domestic violence thing going on, so, you know, I mean, it seemed to me that must have been an issue for her before she married him, so it's hard to, I don't know, listen, I wasn't in that marriage, and people change when they get married, and I don't know what happened.
Wait a minute, you weren't in that marriage?
You're not doing a very good job, Harvey.
And let's remember, by the way, that they were engaged and then broke up and then got engaged again. I mean, it's not like it's been smooth sailing since the day they got together. That's true.
You know what, do you know a lot of people who were married and then they broke up for sure, or they broke up before they got married? It happens all the time.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, true. All right, let's change.
I'm like Dr. Phil right now.
Change topics. I know you only have another couple of minutes before you got to get on an airplane. But how can our man Snoop Dogg not be aware at this point that the drugs and the guns are going to get him arrested?
Well, you know, there's an article today. It's really interesting where Suge Knight is saying that, and again, I'm not saying this is true, but we're certainly going to pursue it today. There's an article that's saying that Snoop Dogg is a narc. And that's what he's saying, because he never goes to jail for any of this stuff. But they're saying that Suge Knight is saying that he's a narc. And that's the way he feels. That's the, that he's just looking, you know, the fact that he's been arrested, three times in the last month.
Right.
And he doesn't go to jail.
Well, well, none of those, of course, have come to trial yet, but you're right. I mean, the guy has had a checkered past, certainly, you know.
Before these three things.
Before these, right. But Suge Knight, I mean, Suge Knight is so biased, though. I mean, he hates Snoop. He hates everybody who used to be with him at death row.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. You mean it's not fact if Suge Knight says it?
Yeah.
No, it is, it is.
Really? Wow.
If you don't believe it, it'll beat the crap out of you.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Harvey, well, you're the best. Catch your plane.
Okay, guys.
And we'll see you in your office when you get back. TMZ.com is where to go for your entertainment web. So your birthday was the... What, 17th?
17th.
Yeah.
How come you can never remember during people's microphones?
I do.
On?
I just turn them on a little bit. I stagger them. I have to turn mine on and I start talking. And then I turn Beans on and then Lisa's and then yours, unfortunately. So your birthday's the 17th.
November 17th, yes.
And you got Beans' gift
yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. In my defense, though, it was released a couple of days before. It was not available for sale until a couple of days before Ralph's birthday. And then it took him a long time to ship it. I bought it in time.
Okay.
Guys.
Hey, look.
Where'd you buy it from?
Time Life.
Oh, you didn't buy it from Amazon? Okay, because I was going to say, on Amazon, they get there the day it comes out.
It's not available from Amazon. That's the thing.
Yeah. Time Life only.
Only Time Life DVDs is releasing this.
He's been promising this item for, I don't know, a couple of months.
Two weeks now.
Well, since I got it, I was just excited to find it. Now that Ralph's got it, I can say it out loud because there may be other fans out there looking for the ultimate Christmas gift, but... Get Smart on DVD, first time ever available, and only through TimeLife.com.
One of the great comedies of the 60s.
Don Adams as Maxwell Smart in Get Smart. Yes. Steve Carell is making the movie version, which I think we'll see within a couple of years
or so.
Right. I'm glad you got it, Ralph. I'm glad you like it.
I love it. Thanks so much.
All right. 6:56, about 20 minutes away from all the details you need to buy your tickets for K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006. We'll give you information on both nights on sale when we get to that point in the show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
Sad news in the world of wrestling. You know, I'm not a big wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. But I followed the sport during a brief period of my youth.
Right.
And I was a big fan of Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
Apparently, Roddy has been diagnosed with lymphoma. Has come down with cancer at 52 years old. He was touring Europe with the World Wrestling Entertainment, but he was he's a Canadian. He went back to Canada to check some discomfort in his back, and it turns out he had a cancerous tumor on a disc on his spine.
Dude.
They're beginning treatment immediately, and Piper said he's determined to beat the cancer. He was back in the day with Hulkster and Andre the Giant and all those guys back in the 80s,
sure.
In the glory days of WrestleMania. And, I wish him well. I hope he does.
I just respect that he hasn't spent the last 10 years out trying to pimp his daughter's music career.
Now, come on.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
In the Hulkster's defense, Brooke's very talented.
And she's on the cover of FHM.
Yes, she is.
Psycho Mike is showing us right now.
Yep.
So let's say you got a TV series, right?
Okay.
And you go on television, right? And you're on, you have three episodes airing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's fair then for the network to say, no, you're not performing well, you're canceled?
After only three?
Yeah.
Well, I would think not, no.
I don't know if you guys are watching the new medical drama on CBS called 3 Pounds about brain surgery, about neurosurgeons. But NBC has decided it's just not performing and it is on... indefinite hiatus.
Yeah. That's kind words for the Death Squad.
You'll never see it again. Exactly.
I know it's been said a million times, but it bears repeating. There are so many classic shows that had trouble out of the gate, took a while to find an audience, that the television world is so much richer for, that they were stuck with. And I just don't know that that possibly exists anymore in the current environment.
Have you guys watched that?
I've seen two of them.
Me too.
I saw one of them.
And I like it.
It struck me as a poor man's House.
It struck me as sort of House-like.
House does it better. You know, that quirky, super intelligent doctor guy.
Right.
They do it so much better that I'm not interested in 3 Pounds.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to defend that show, but we do live in an era where one time, three times, five times, you're out.
And three times a lady, by the
way. Sure, it's true. Also, yes.
Nothing better than a drunk midget.
Oh, that's the best.
If you're watching The View, you would have seen Danny DeVito show up after a night of partying with George Clooney.
Does he strike you guys as the partying kind?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Danny DeVito? Oh, yeah.
Apparently, Danny's a big Jersey boozer boy and likes to have a good time.
He has a nice time, yeah.
He was out with George Clooney all night, hadn't been to bed yet, and he was already booked to do The View to talk about his new movie, Deck the Halls. But that's not what he wanted to talk about.
What do you want to talk about?
George Bush.
The world.
Just voicing his drunken opinions, pretty much.
Okay.
And it could not have been more entertaining. It was not lost on the girls on The View, either, by the way. Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who was the resident Republican on that show, not pleased at all with Danny's tirade.
Oh, sure.
But when Danny left and Thomas Gibson, the actor from Dharma and Greg, came back on afterwards, Rosie O'Donnell said to him, "It's so nice to see you sober." So all the girls knew exactly what was going on with Danny.
Nice.
I think we have a little audio of Danny on The View.
It's really cool. It's a really, really cool place. They, you know, they built it really well.
Talking about the White House.
Yeah. Of course. And, I was there during Clinton's last stint.
Yeah.
Which was really nice. The place had that kind of Clinton feeling.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't go after,
that's a president.
They're dropping out because he's saying things he can't say.
Trying to figure out what to do with our country and our women and men in the military. Donald!
Isn't
booze.
It's Kevin!
Isn't booze a wonderful thing?
President Numbnuts, by the way, is what he was calling him.
Yeah.
Very entertaining.
In Danny DeVito's defense, if you were in Deck the Halls, wouldn't you drink?
Yeah.
No question.
And I would
look
for anything else to talk about other than Deck the Halls in the movie.
Exactly. So.
DeFito's defense, by the way, also appearing at the Christmas issue.
Excellent.
So, yes. Very entertaining.
No Seinfeld for you!
That's what Jesse Jackson's been saying to everyone.
No Seinfeld for you!
He wants a boycott on the Seinfeld DVD, the latest one, season 7. He wants to use that as a way of, in his words, exacting an economic punishment for Michael Richards' racist meltdown.
How's that working out for him?
Not so much. Sales are through the roof. Apparently, Seinfeld Season 7 on DVD is selling 75% better than Season 6 and 90% better than Season 5.
Wow, first of all. And second of all, he went on Jesse Jackson's show to say he's sorry.
Yeah, but he's not on there now, so Jesse needs something else to get himself into the public eye, and he's using this. So,
Ralph,
do we have him on Jesse's show, by the way?
We do, yeah.
Jesse?
We do. This is a little bit of Jesse Jackson.
Michael Richards on the Jesse Jackson radio show.
You said you use it as a way to punish and fight back, and maybe that becomes the line.
Well, that's where I need to go and get some help. I need to drop down and get my thing together.
That's
Ralph
right.
Jackson.
I need to drop down and get my thing together.
That's like bad acting.
I need to drop down and get my thing together. Is he trying to be a little black so he can fit in better with the Reverend?
I don't know what that is.
Yes.
David Caruso.
I need to.
Oh, it was.
Speaking of David Caruso, thank you so much for bringing that up, Psycho Mike. I am just beside myself. I am just incensed.
I don't know this story.
I am heartbroken.
What?
This year's Hawthorne, California Christmas Parade.
The one that you were
the... which I've been the Grand Marshal of twice.
Yes.
Two consecutive years, by the way.
Yes.
I've been bumped. I'm out.
For?
David Caruso.
No kidding.
David Caruso is the Grand Marshal of the Hawthorne, California Christmas Parade.
How would they pick somebody who's rich and good-looking and famous and on a TV show over you?
Oh, I thought you were talking about me there for a second. I don't know.
But is he from
I'm incensed.
Hawthorne?
I have no idea how they landed him, but that's who's going to be grand marshaling the parade this year. They're moving on up, by the way.
He must be from Hawthorne. That must be the thing. I mean,
I don't think he is.
We would know that.
I think he's a New Yorker.
Huh.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's interesting that the Hawthorne Parade is now bigger than the Hollywood Christmas Parade just by having David Caruso.
It's this Saturday. If you're going to be around the Hawthorne, California area, the Christmas Parade will be this Saturday in Hawthorne, so you can check that out. I still like those people over there, even though I've been rejected for a TV star. Maybe my appearances there raised the parade to such a high profile that now it's acceptable for other mega celebrities to also be Grand Marshal.
And you're comfortable with that?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Whatever it takes.
So Caruso asked, they called him and he said, "Who else has done it?" And they said, "Garmin." He said, "I'm in."
No, he asked,
"Who?
Who else has done it?" He put his sunglasses down. Sir, who else has done it? And then they said, "Me." And then he said, "All right." Today's celebrity birthdays, Ridley Scott, great director, Gladiator, Blade Runner, many, many feature films, 69 years old today. Billy Idol, our pal, is 51. Ben Stiller, actor and director, turns 41 years old today. Clay Aiken is 28 today. Clay Aiken.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Alicia Cuthbert is 24 years old today. How appropriate. Dick Clark.
TV personality, producer. Coming back to host the ball dropping on New Year's Eve, people. There's a reason.
Thank you, Ryan, very much. It's really good to be back with you again this year.
That's going to be hard. That's going to be hard to watch. That's not a way to celebrate. I've said it before. It's not the way to celebrate your New Year's. Sitting there with half a load on watching a poor old guy with a stroke, you will suck on the business end of a shotgun if you watch that show. That's what I'm saying. You'll be so depressed. Another year gone by and my life's crap. Look at this guy. He's a stroke victim. Life's not worth living. Boom. It's all
you do
over.
Have to make sure you're in a very good place before you sit down and subject yourself to Mr. Clark on New Year's Eve.
And Sandra Oh is 36 years old today.
Rouse loves.
Yeah, Sandra Oh from Grey's Anatomy. Sandra Oh.
The love of Rouse life.
Sandra Oh.
Right.
You have a little clip of Sandra Oh?
How do you describe what her face looks like, Ralph?
Catcher's mitt with eyes.
That's right.
I feel like someone set me on fire.
Oh, someone set her on fire. That explains her looks. I feel bad now. I had no idea. I didn't know when I was saying that. I don't think that's what happened.
Literally, she's just talking figuratively.
She's got no excuse.
Yeah.
She does have some angles at which she looks better than others. I will say that.
Wow,
that's going a long way to be nice.
You are quite the diplomat. Yeah. I'll tell you. I just say usually. Who hit you in the face with a frying pan?
That's what
I ask her usually.
Why do you have to hate?
Bong!
Where's the laugh?
In the cartoons when Jerry would hit Tom in the face with a frying pan and his head would retain the shape of a frying pan? I think that's what happened. She got hit in the face by a cartoon mouse. Do you think that's possible?
Not really, but if you're comfortable with that, that's fine.
Better than the fire story.
Yes, it is.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We brought Omar back into the studio. Omar likes to party.
Yeah.
And the guys went to the K-Fed show last Wednesday night. Oh. It was a week ago last night, and it was at the House of Blues the night before Thanksgiving.
What I love about Omar, by the way, is he's not a guy who accidentally gets plastered.
No,
he
God.
Plans in advance. Guys, I can't wait 5 more days,
dude,
man.
I'm going to get so drunk.
I know, we never let you out. That's true.
3 days from now, man, it's going to be going off. Oh, guys, tonight's tonight. I'm gonna blow you out the doors. I mean, he was ready for K-Fed on Wednesday night.
Yeah, and he was determined that Kevin Federline was not going to come away from that concert with the idea that his fans love him.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. No matter what it takes,
absolutely.
Omar is going to take that into his own hands and make it happen.
Yeah.
So I want you to hear this clip, and then I'm going to tell you, it's so hard to understand, but we did get a CD sent to us from somebody who was at that show, Kevin Federline show. Unfortunately, it wasn't going through the soundboard. It was just like, it sounds like a handheld thing, so you can just barely make it out.
Someone in the audience basically recording it for us.
But it's worth it when you hear what's being said to him on stage. Okay, I'm going to play that again. I want you to listen for F you, and then a pause, and then loser.
After K-Fed says, I'm home, LA.
And Omar says, F you.
That's our boy.
Right here.
I'm home.
Are there other people booing, too?
Yes.
Were there other people, too, Omar, or just you?
At that point, I had no idea what was going on, dude. I was just intent on doing one thing, and that's booing the crap out of them.
Apparently, from what I understand from the story, is even after the altercation with K-Fed, you guys went out to eat or something like that, and you were just incensed that he was going to go to bed that night and think that he had talent, right? I mean, it really, got under your
absolutely.
Skin.
Absolutely. Really bugged me, and it's such a no-talent F, you know what I'm saying, dude?
Easy, man.
Really, really bugged me, yeah.
Yeah, so you did your part.
Oh, yeah.
Screaming F you and loser. And this clip, I don't even know if you can make any of it out, but you can hear the cursing going back and forth. And what that is Omar at the front of the stage flipping him off and yelling at him. And K-Fed kind of leaving his music behind and focusing on Omar and screaming back at him.
That's professional. Yeah.
Yeah,
Okay, I can't make out one word of that.
No, not a thing.
Yeah.
What was going on?
Does the West Coast have love for K-Fed?
That rapper was on the other side of the stage, so he didn't see me, and Federline was on my side of the stage. My two middle fingers are up in the air. I'm like, F you. So he was all like, you know, hey, F the haters, F the media, whatever. So then the rapper tries to calm him down, and he's like, leave him alone, dog, leave him alone, dog. And then, you know, Federline was all like, I see you, dog, I see you. I'm like, F you! You suck!
Yeah. By the way, what about Omar starting the new double throwing the finger there? Michael Vick picked it up after Omar did it.
Exactly.
The Atlanta Falcons. Apparently, it's very hot right now.
Nice. It's starting a trend.
Now, so this is the end of the show. K-Fed had kept everybody waiting for 2 hours and then came out and played 30 minutes.
The arrogance.
Yes.
Oh, and it's unbelievable. That's why you hate him so much.
He's been playing 25 minutes now, and he wants to know if people want to hear another song.
Wait, by the way, 8 minutes of those 30 minutes was just a medley of, like, hip-hop hits. I mean,
somebody,
Snoop,
a DJ was spinning,
a DJ
right?
DJ was spinning, right?
Like California then, Love and all this kind of stuff.
Absolutely. And then they just had a hype man, you know, going, hey, everybody,
And Lisa brings up a good point. It's not like the guy has no talent yet, shows up and recognizes that he, you know, that he's new at it, that he's humble, that he's grateful. None of that. It's all arrogance plus no talent. That's the that's the lethal combination that makes people hate this bastard.
So after 25 minutes, after waiting 2 hours, and then he played 25 minutes, he wants to know if people want to hear another song. That's his line. Maybe it's because I took their queen.
Jeez.
That's why America hates him, because he took Britney Spears and married her. Not that he has zero talent and is an obnoxious ass. Has nothing to do with that.
Exactly.
Oh, damn. I thought that was the clip. Here's the clip where he asked if they want to hear one more song.
They're all yelling, no!
How awesome is that? That's the best.
That's Omar. He's our man right there.
I think you heard him, Mo.
I think you accomplished your goal. I think you heard him.
Well done. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 27 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Tell me.
The K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006, December 9th, December 10th. Saturday, of course, 30 Seconds to Mars, Wolf Mother, Seosin, Papa Roach, Plus 44, Fall Out Boy, My Chemical Romance, Incubus, AFI, and Foo Fighters. Sunday, Gnarls Barkley, Angels and Airwaves, Snow Patrol, She Wants Revenge, The Rockin' Tours, Evanescence, Panic at the Disco, Beck, The Killers, and The Foo Fighters.
Damn.
Now, you know how we've been giving tickets away the last week?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We'll tell you when you hear such and such a song, be caller 20?
Yeah.
We're going to put the tickets on sale in a completely different way this year. We're going to do it that way. And we're going to pick the band that's playing both nights. The only band that's playing both nights are the Foo Fighters.
Okay.
Okay.
We are going to play Everlong by the Foo Fighters at some point coming up. And this is to pay off those of you that listen to K-Rock the most, because the second we play Everlong in its entirety, tickets go on sale immediately.
Wow.
Isn't that insane? Was that not crazy?
Now, this year, because of that, there's not going to be any box office sales. So you can't go line up anywhere. They don't hand out wristbands. None of that. It's just phone and internet.
Okay.
The second we play Foo Fighters Everlong, at any moment when you hear it, that's when tickets go on sale.
Well, the good news is everyone has the exact same chance of being able to buy tickets. Now, when you hear Everlong, which could play at any time on K-Rock, do you call at the beginning of the song or do you call at the end of the song?
When you hear the entire song beginning to end.
Okay. So at the end of Everlong by Foo Fighters,
yes,
that's when tickets go on sale for K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006.
Now, here's what we would suggest. We know that nobody has that kind of time.
Yeah.
Right? So basically, we're suggesting maybe you should get together some friends, split up the day.
Like have listening times
have like,
for each of you.
5 or 10 friends, and you can all make some kind of a network, and they'll be responsible for listening for a certain amount of hours, and then calling everybody to tell them they're on sale or whatever.
That's how
they're going to go on.
And there must be in your group some sort of vaguely like foreign or retarded guy or something like that you can assign the Rodney hours to.
Right, exactly. Well, you're just going to want to go 15 minutes at a time for Rodney, because we can take
more
than
probably
that.
A good idea. Any more than that is lethal. We all know that.
Tickets are $75 each for all of the tickets. There is a limit of 2 tickets per person. You're not allowed to buy more than 2 tickets with the same credit card and address.
Okay.
Ticketmaster is going to do a sweep, and if they find a double order on one credit card, they'll cancel one of them, because we want more different people
to get tickets as possible. And we don't want, say, a scalper gets in with a credit card. We don't want them to be able to buy 20 pair.
Right.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
So that's what we're doing. Both shows benefit Para Los Niños and then the Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center. Ticketmaster locations in L.A., Orange, San Bernardino, Riverside, Ventura County will not be open for the ticket buying. Only phone and Ticketmaster.com. And you have to have a credit card or an ATM card to get those tickets.
Okay.
So all you do is pick up the phone or get on the internet to Ticketmaster when you hear Everlong by Foo Fighters. And that's when tickets go on sale, and that's how you know.
In its entirety. Not when we play a clip, or not when we play the intro or the promo, a little clip. The whole song, beginning to end. All of the info is at krock.com, but you are now listening for Everlong by the Foo Fighters on the world-famous K-Rock for those tickets to go on sale. And good luck to everybody.
You know, when you're growing up, you always think that the adults, the grown-ups, are a little bit more mature and they understand what's going on and they deal with each other in a grown-up way.
You would hope so.
The people that are running things, you figure they know what they're doing. They don't handle things like a five-year-old.
First, you think your parents and they would handle it in a different way than you would. And then you think the local government and they would certainly, they're much more grown up. But by the time you get to the federal level and you're talking about the president and the Congress and everybody and the United Nations, you would think that they would handle it differently than a five-year-old. That's not true. Kim Jong-il, of course, who is the ruler of North Korea, he's the guy who just did a couple of tests on the atomic bomb.
Yeah, he, despite sanctions and despite lots of pressure from around the world, still managed to put a nuclear program together, and no one is crazy about that.
So what the U.S. did is they went through the United Nations, and they said, all right, if you're going to do that, here's what we're going to do. Now, a lot of people are afraid it's going to be attack, you know, war, what are we, secret mission?
Right.
God forbid.
No, that's not going to be it. The U.S. government's first ever effort to use trade sanctions to personally aggravate a foreign president.
They're just trying to annoy him?
They are finding out his likes and his dislikes, and they're banning stuff that he likes into North Korea.
Oh, no.
So, for example, he likes cognac.
Uh-huh.
He likes Rolex watches. He likes cigarettes. He likes artwork. He likes expensive cars, Harley-Davidson motorcycles, jet skis, Segways, plasma TVs, all of the things that he likes personally in his life. We have now said that we can no longer ship to him.
It's like a kid in a timeout.
Yes.
Yes. So we're basically, we go to Apple, for instance, and we say, hey, we got this thing with Kim Jong-il. Don't sell any iPods to North Korea. No iPods in North Korea because
no
he might get one.
No iPods for you.
No iPods for you. Exactly.
No Segways. Whatever he likes personally, we're banning. Now,
but can't you get most of this stuff from other countries, too? How effective is that going to be?
Well,
how many iPods does he need? Why ban him from the whole country if he only needs one?
You can get them through the black market or whatever, but I guess they're, I don't know, it just seems so weird that the United States, along with the UN, are saying, let's put together a program that'll hit him right where he lives and not give him any more iPods.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, the country is desperately poor. It's not like the man on the street is hurt by a Harley-Davidson motorcycle boycott. It really pretty much just affects guys like Kim Jong-il.
Just him, only. So we actually have him on the phone. This is his theme song. Kim Jong-il, good morning. How you doing today?
What's going on, Mr. President? Why are we the stupid American pig dogs? It sounds like they figured out something that's really going to hurt you.
Oh, yeah. Burn. Ooh. So I set off nuclear bomb. You not give me an iPod. Ouch. Wow, you guys really playing hardball now.
It does seem a little bit childish.
I drop a bomb on you, you take away my Segway.
Well,
but
what if, with Christmas coming up, what if you thought, ooh, I'm going to write to Santa and try to get a jet ski? Oh, sorry, can't get a jet ski from America. No way.
Let me see. I just drop a bomb on you.
I know this.
And take a jet ski from you after you die.
I know this sounds like a joke, and people listening probably can't believe it. The story does come from the Associated Press, though. They've researched it, and we in America and the United Nations are banning everything you like, sir.
Yo, that Bush administration got a plan, finally. Oh, now, you taught me a lesson. Why would I make any more nuclear bombs now when I can't get Kool-Aid?
Well,
you're the worst country in the world.
It may not be the most well-thought-out plan.
You're stupid.
Mr. President, how many Rolex watches do you have and how many do you need?
Let's count 147,000 Rolex watches.
So oh, wow. You don't need a lot more.
I'd like a couple more.
A couple more. You're not going to get them from us, man.
Oh!
That's how much business we mean.
I'm so angry. You happy now?
I can't imagine that this is actually taking place. It's ridiculous.
It's worse. Foreign policy ever.
That's true.
Yeah, we haven't been doing very well in that
you
area.
You should be
a Hey, why is the United Nations going along with such a crappy plan? For God's sakes, doesn't anyone have any common sense?
What's wrong with you?
Listen.
I should bomb you just on general principle now.
Certainly for that policy.
Oh, and look at iPod. Oh, okay, I'll get a zone.
Ralph, I thought about you last night. I know that for a long time you were coming in saying, guys, you got to start watching this Insider. It's the best freak show on television. And I never really checked it out because I'm an Access Hollywood man. I really didn't have time for another show. But when you put me on Anna Nicole Smith duty for that month-long series of interviews, I started to get hooked on the Insider. And now I can't resist it. Last night, I swear to God, they had not only an update on the world's fattest man.
Well, if they did the fattest man, usually they balance it out with the Australian anorexic twins.
They didn't have them. They did have a woman who was 350 pounds, had gastric bypass surgery, and now is anorexic, though. They had her on the show last night.
Sure.
And they also had, ladies and gentlemen, on Pat O'Brien's The Insider, they had an interview with the woman who was raised by dogs. I mean, the show, it gets better and better. She was a feral child. She was raised for 5 years out back with dogs. They breastfed her, this woman that they had on the show last night.
That is awesome.
It's a carnival sideshow is what that show is.
I've never seen anything like it.
It's the Weekly World News of TV.
It's the midway of television. It's the carnival freak show of television.
Wow. You think you're going to see the latest, you know, Britney Beaver Flash or something, and instead you get the world's fattest man. I mean, it's a crazy show, but I want to thank you for turning me on to it because it really is magic. It's fantastic.
Plastic surgery disasters. The woman who looks like a rhino. hurry, step right up. See the bearded lady.
You couldn't make up anything that's as crazy as the stuff they really do have on that show, though. It's spectacular.
Pat O'Brien is a carnival barker.
He sure is.
Yeah. You want to go faster? 7:56, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Rob.
Speaking of which, Anna Nicole Smith was on Entertainment Tonight this week in a big interview with Pat O'Brien, claiming that she hasn't been evicted from her house in the Bahamas. Well, as soon as that aired, TMZ.com released a report saying a judge has ordered her to vacate the house.
Awesome.
Like my body.
The guy who owns the home, Ben Thompson, filed a lawsuit against Anna. When the case came up and Anna hadn't replied, the judge gave Thompson a default judgment. Boom, you win. She didn't answer.
Awesome.
She got a letter that said she has to get out of the house within 48 hours.
I heard there's a court in America that also is demanding that she come back and have a paternity test done on the kid.
Well, what happened was the court has ruled that they have the right to rule over whether she needs to take a paternity test.
Really? What kind of ruling is that?
It gives them prejudice over the case that they believe that they have the ability to rule in this particular case. That was unclear whether they would be able to force her to get the DNA test or not, because this Larry Burkhead took her to court. So they had looked at the case. They said it's valid. Yes, they will be able to pass judgment one way or the other, and now they still have to
do that. But they haven't. They just want us to know they can.
Exactly.
Well, that's pretty common in lawsuits, though. There's a lot of rulings for jurisdiction's sake.
Because they might throw it right out. It might be unfounded. They wouldn't even bother. But they said, this is valid. This will be adjudicated
on. Tell me. I argued cases before the Supreme Court.
That's right. I forgot you did that.
Back to you.
What did you say? F you? Is that what you said?
No, I said back to you.
Oh. F you.
Wow. A little hostile.
Jeez, wow.
Did you say that conversation, Kevin?
Wow.
Man. When I need to.
Congratulations to director Sofia Coppola and her husband, Mark Jacobs. No, her... What?
Huh?
Yeah.
Thomas Mars, rather, is the name of the baby's father. He is the frontman for the band Phoenix. Familiar with that band, Phoenix?
I'm not.
Mm-mm. No. Romy is the baby girl's name. Romy.
How do you spell that?
Sophia's Coppola's daughter, Romy. R-O-M-Y.
Okay.
Like the movie.
That's simple.
Like Romy and Michelle?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So there you go. Pretty normal. She's Italian, so Rome makes sense.
Hey, sure.
Romy. Hey. Hey, piracy. How you doing? did you see the light the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree last night in New York?
No.
Oh, big, big event.
Yeah.
Tina Fey was given the honor of lighting up the biggest Christmas tree in New York City.
Yeah.
I wonder why they would have her do it.
The tree at 30 Rock. 30 why Rock, would they give her the switch?
NBC TV special last night. Self-promotion. Oh, that's right. They're moving her show to Thursday nights. So they had her stand there and talk about that for a while before she flipped the switch.
Well, nothing says the holidays like a switch in a TV schedule.
That's true. She actually flipped the switch with the scar on her face. I thought that was pretty entertaining.
Oh, come on.
Scar reached out and grabbed the switch and threw it. She didn't even have to use her hands. Pretty cool.
The scar does not move independently.
Oh, don't you believe it, Junior.
I love her so.
Nick Lachey's getting into the sports business.
What? Oh, don't I know about this?
Now, you must up there in your part of the world. The Tacoma Rainiers.
What are they?
They are the AAA affiliate of the Seattle Mariners.
Yep.
He's a part owner. He just bought into it.
Nick Lachey owns a third of my local minor league team. How funny is that?
Could you be any gayer?
Sports is, outside of entertainment, my passion, Nick says. Oh, he should play for him.
Yeah.
I would so play for him if I was them.
He has been a super high profile, you know, lifelong fan of the Cincinnati Reds. He does a lot with them and goes to a lot of their games and stuff because he's from Ohio. But I guess he couldn't buy into anything there. I guess he could afford the Rainiers, so that's what he bought into.
The Rainiers.
Rainiers.
Gay.
Go Rainiers.
Named after Mount Rainier.
Of course, but gay.
Yeah. Named after mountains. We're the Tacoma Mountains. Just call them that. Stupid.
They need a better name like the Lakers, something like that.
It must be mortgage time in the Murphy household. Eddie Murphy has announced he's going to be doing Beverly Hills Cop 4.
What?
Yes. Wow. Detroit cop Axel Foley will be back. No word on whether Rosewood and Taggart will be with him or not, though.
How you doing?
Apparently, well, you remember Cops 1 and 2 did pretty well at the box office. Yeah. Number 3, however, I didn't even know there was number 3, by the way.
I don't think...
I am the movie guy. I know a lot about movies. I completely forgot that there was a Beverly Hills Cop 3.
I don't think I knew that either.
Is that the one where they go to the amusement park?
Yeah.
Yes.
My neighbor, Alan Young, was in it. That's why I know about that one. He was the amusement park
dude.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah.
Was that Vacation?
No.
Or Wally World or whatever that is?
Well, yeah. That was a different one.
Right. That's right. Ralph, Alan Young played like a Disney kind of guy, didn't he? Yeah.
I didn't think that Eddie Murphy did movies that people wanted to see anymore. I thought he was past that phase of his career.
Yeah, well, no one wants to see this either, so I guess he's right on track.
It's okay.
That's going to be great.
Cops 1 and 2 did over $300 million at the box office.
Wow.
Cop number 3 managed $44 million at the box office.
Yeah.
To show you the waning interest in the Beverly Hills Cop franchise.
Right.
So, there you go.
If they make a movie that looks funny on its own, people will go.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, and people, who knows how many of his fans are still around and waiting for him to do something, but I mean, he used to be very, very funny. Hasn't been in so long, I don't know if, you know, if people are going to line up for it, but I'd like to see him being funny again.
Look, here, what are your choices? Would you rather see Beverly Hills Cop 4 or Daddy Daycare 2 or Professor 3 or Pluto Nash 2? I mean, really, if you need a sequel, this is the one to do, right?
Maybe he's getting serious again. They say he's great in Dreamgirls 2, which is coming out next month. I mean, maybe he's trying to make a comeback with his films again.
And tragic news out of Britain. Ginger Spice has announced she has officially retired from the music business.
Oh, say it isn't so.
How can she stop? She's on fire right now.
She's informing all of us to give up hopes for a Spice Girls reunion.
No.
She said she will not sing with the Spice Girls. She will not sing. No, I'm sorry. And she will not do another solo album. It's it for her. She is out of music.
To me.
Luckily, she's not out of money.
I guess I'm just going to have to pull out the old Spice World DVD and just watch that over and over again.
Never really saw that movie.
You know, they were supposed to perform live at the Live 8 charity concert.
What happened?
But Scary Spice, Mel B, pulled out. Melanie B pulled out. She wouldn't do it, but all the other girls had agreed.
Huh.
So we were this close to seeing Magic once again.
It's not the Spice Girls without Scary.
No, it isn't.
Right?
She's the black
one. There's no excuse, by the way, for Kevin not seeing Spice World, one of the best movies ever.
Oh, Spice World rocks.
You mean,
so good. You mean in a bad way, right?
No, in like a good way.
It's hilarious.
Because they're aware that they're being sort of campy and bad, so that makes it sort of fun.
All right, I'm no longer taking your opinion.
You need to watch it. You need to watch it. Speaking of hot chicks, we still have open submissions for Miss Double December.
That's right.
Which we haven't mentioned yet today.
Through tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Tomorrow at 5 p.m. is the cutoff, so if you'd like to be considered to be the representative,
the beauty queen of the Kevin and Bean Show for the year 2007. We are still taking applications. Go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page. It gives you all the information there. There's five questions you have to answer. Send in some pictures of yourself as well. We will be sorting through all the admissions over the weekend, and then Monday we will post the top 10 for the listeners to vote on. So if you'd like to be Miss Double December, send in your photos and your completed questionnaire today.
And if you win, you go to all the concerts, all the singles parties.
Everything we do, you do.
Exactly.
It's just that simple. Only you look better doing it than we do.
That's why we do it. We need something for people to look at when we go out.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Dick Clark, TV personality, producer, longtime host of American Bandstand, and returning host of Rockin' New Year's Eve. Dick Clark.
Thank you, Ryan, very much. It's real good to be back with you again this year.
Dick Clark.
I've got the strangest feeling someone's going to kick his ass.
Oh, come on. He's on a walker. Me. 77 years old today. Billy Idol is 51. Ben Stiller turns 41 years old today. Clay Aiken is 28. Alicia Cuthbert is 24. There's some debate going on when Sandra Oh's birthday is.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I have been saying it's been today. She's 36 years old. However, several listeners have emailed me saying they believe her birthday is in July.
Well, let's do it both.
So I think that...
She's a big enough star.
I think half of her face was born today, and the other half was born in July. That's what I'm guessing. That would explain so much to me. I don't even know what that means.
So you like the way she looks?
Yeah, she's a good-looking broad.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We need to talk to firefighters, because this story has been getting a lot of press, and it's driving me out of my freaking mind.
Not just you, Kevin.
The Los Angeles City Council has been arguing back and forth about a firefighter named Tenny Pierce. And apparently they do hazings in the fire department, and they put dog food in this guy's spaghetti.
Yeah.
And he ate it.
He calls himself the big dog. I think that's where it came from.
I didn't know that.
That's what I heard.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So, of course, there's all kinds of emotional damage, and he's got to sue and say it's because he's black and it's racist. And the black people on the city council, three of them, are just outraged, and they think he should be paid. And then some new pictures showed up. Listen to this. Now we're going to take some phone calls from fire department people. You don't have to tell us where you're from or whatever, but tell us about hazing and tell us if this is out of the norm.
I don't know any group of guys, by the way, that don't have some sort of hazing, whether it's the police department or a baseball team or a fraternity in college or firefighting. I mean, hazing is just part of what you do when you become a member of a group.
And let me
and it happens
together.
To everybody, by the way. Guys. I said guys.
Yeah.
It happens. It's not just the black guys either. It's all the guys.
Of course.
Listen, I've been in a lot of those groups. You're lucky as hell if all you did was eat dog food. You know what I mean? Like, that's great. That guy got a bonus. So the Los Angeles Times obtained portions of a deposition in this case in July. And this particular firefighter denied under oath having joined in shaving a fellow firefighter's groin. And here is what was said in the deposition. Were you ever present when a firefighter was shaved? An assistant city attorney asked. No, said Pierce. You've never done that. I've never done it. And if anybody said you did, they'd be lying. They are lying. And then they brought out a picture of him at a hazing when a guy was getting his genitals shaved. He's in the photo. He's in the picture. So then the mayor, Villaraigosa, said, forget this. We're not going to pay this guy. Look, he's taking part in it, too. So he said he's going to veto the $2.7 million settlement that the city was just about to make.
Isn't what's going on partly, though, with the veto and the city council and the discussion and everything, the discussion that always comes up in a lawsuit, which is, should we pay this guy this amount of money, which is what, about $2.5 million?
Yeah, $2.7 million.
Should we pay him this amount of money to stop it from going to trial because it could get so much worse for us? We don't need the publicity. We don't need a jury to come back and say the guy gets $10 million. Is part of it that they're trying to be prudent with taxpayer dollars?
That's most of it.
That's our company does as a regular policy.
And that's what the city attorney's office job is, too.
Somebody have to stand up and say, look, people get hazed. All guys get hazed when they're in a group like that. It may have been racism. I don't know. I wasn't there. Yeah. But there's also a pretty decent chance it wasn't. That it was just he was a fellow firefighter. And that's what happens.
Well, you can
better
stand
chance
up
than,
and
way
say
better
it.
Chance than not that it wasn't racism, by the way.
You
exactly.
can stand up and say it. But if you lose in court, where are
that's
you?
The thing is everybody's so terrified of what the jury award is going to be and the bad public relations of having this dragged through the press for 9 months. That's where they're coming from.
I don't understand that, though, because it seems like it's just a guy claiming that it's racism and the rest of the department is just, I mean, it's just hazing.
There's
that happens.
Chief firefighter that stepped up at city council yesterday and agreed that it was racism.
Well, that guy's a doofus.
Well, he may be, but I mean, what a great witness.
This firefighter, Pierce, suggested to the council that the pranks he participated in were good-natured and said that when they were over, people would hug the person and take pictures with them. What they did to me at Fire Station 5 was wrong because it was something I did not know. Here's my favorite line.
Okay.
My mother worked three jobs to get me where I am today. At no time did she ever feed us dog food.
Well, she wasn't hazing you into a firehouse.
I don't know how that has any relation to the case.
This is why Kevin has always said don't hire black people for important jobs. How many times have you heard? Oh, wait a second. He didn't say that.
I've never said that.
So what's going to happen next? Where are we in the thing now?
I think yesterday the city council needed to vote to overrule the veto by the mayor, and they didn't.
Right. They rejected that, so it will probably go to trial.
I hope
probably
it does.
Go to trial. Yeah. All right. We want to hear from firefighters because we want to hear two things. One, we want to hear about the firefighting hazing that you've been involved in, either as the victim or the perpetrator. And two, we want to hear what your opinion is when you hear about something like this. Is who do we believe? What should we be doing with a guy like this? Is it just the cost of doing business to be a firefighter? You're in the fraternity and that's what happens? Or is this a serious problem where this guy has a serious case for damages? We want to hear from both from firefighters on both of those topics at 1-800-520-1067. Look at Lisa primping because she knows we're getting ready to talk to firefighters. How about that?
She's got to take down all their numbers off the air.
Firefighters are hot.
Hey, it's Lisa. Just in case we hang up on you, what's your number?
We're going to take firefighter phone calls here in 1 second on the hazing story that's getting so much attention right now. Quick email here. Hey, this is where I request songs, right? I'd like to officially request Everlong by Foo Fighters. Can you play it soon? Seriously, play it, fools. I ain't got all day. Christian. Yeah, nice try, Christian. We're not quite that dumb, although close. You were smart to think we might be. But when you hear Everlong by Foo Fighters, all you have to do is call Ticketmaster or go online to Ticketmaster.com, and that's when tickets go on sale for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006. All the details available for you if you're just hearing about it at K-Rock.com.
We're talking about hazings in the fire department, and hazings is basically where they play pranks on you just to kind of welcome you to the force kind of a thing. And there was a black guy named Teddy Pierce who ate dog food. Now, I've eaten dog food.
You have?
20 times, maybe.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
Because I've never eaten dog food.
Taste
you
it.
Have?
Were you
oh,
feral?
I did eat dog food.
Yeah,
were
you raised by dogs?
Yeah, I was raised by dogs.
No, remember when I ate, what's his name's dog food?
Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Patten.
Because he said it was good enough to eat, right?
Yes. That's right.
So this guy's claiming racism.
I'm suing.
It's racism, 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 which is a word that I think gets thrown around way too much.
Oh, yeah.
It can be inconsiderate. It can be wrong. It can be out of line. It can be against the rules.
It can be,
It doesn't necessarily mean it's racism just because the guy's black.
Well, every other, we'll take some calls from firefighters right here, but every other guy who's a firefighter in that house has also been through some sort of hazing, whether they're black or not, whether they're white or not, Hispanic or not. I mean, it just happens to be part of what they do.
So this guy's claiming everything, all the emotional distress and everything else.
Here's what's weird, too. I heard a clip of him, or saw a clip of him yesterday where he said, look, if this happened to four white firefighters, would I stand up for them? You bet I would. And I'm thinking, why? If they're white, it's not racism, right?
Exactly. They wouldn't. No one would sue.
Let's start with Sal in Long Beach. He's on line four. He says he's been on both sides of the hazing, so maybe he's got an opinion on this story. Hey, Sal, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
What's going on, guys? Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Sal.
How does this strike you?
Thanks for calling. Yeah, how does this story strike you with this guy?
You know what? I've been I actually called you guys before. I was the paramedic who called about the thing stuck in the guy's butt.
Fantastic. You're one of our people.
You know what? When I started as a rookie, I was hazed, you know, every day for about 6 months.
Right.
And that's just part of the lifestyle. Being a firefighter, paramedic, it's almost like joining a fraternity. So,
did they make you eat something, though?
You know what? I wasn't. I usually kept my eye on my food. I usually brought bagged lunch for the first 6 months after the first hazing, after the first day. But, I mean, there are stuff like that. Like, you know, one of the guys came in with, like, a box of chocolates, and it turned out to be Ex-Lax.
Nice. So how does adding dog food to spaghetti rank in the level of things that are offensive or hard to take or whatever?
You know what? It isn't. That's just ingenious. That's awesome. I mean, if I would have...
Sal wishes he'd thought of it.
I would probably do it. You know what? Because there's a bunch of stuff we do. I mean, like, we do false calls because we have friends that work at dispatch. And, like, when the rookies come in, like, at 3 in the morning, I would call my friend and tell him, hey, dispatch this guy to this area at 3 o'clock in the morning. So they're all taking off like idiots, getting in their rigs, taking off, and about halfway down the road, they call him, hey, dude, we're just playing around. And then
Hey, Sal, let me ask you this, since you've been on both sides of the hazing. In your opinion, is the hazing spread around among all the guys, regardless of race?
Yeah.
Or did you actually see tougher hazing for minorities?
Of course. You know what? Once one of them backfired, where we had actually this one thing, it's just a water bucket, and when the rookie comes in, we have one of the guys just dropping on him.
Right.
Well, accidentally, one of our guys on top of his attention, and it was the captain when he walked in.
Right.
And he accidentally dropped it on our fire department captain.
Ooh.
Which was you know the head with the head guy of our department. If anybody can bust our ass down, it would be him. But you know, he took it in stride. He knew we were just hazing the rookie. I mean, if a top guy like that can take it,
But my question was, do you think the hazing is spread around equally, or do you think there is some racism in how the punishments are doled out?
I mean, if there is, it's on a personal basis. But for me, we have black people working in our department. We have Hispanics, white. I mean, we all take it in stride. It's just joking. It's part of the gig when you take that role.
What did you think when you found out that this guy was seen in pictures shaving another man's genitals after he's the one who claimed racism and wanted $2.7 million?
Yeah, you know what? Well, if that's the case, I'm going to go back and pick a couple of them and then do that myself.
There you go. All right. You can cash in, Sal.
Yeah, I should.
Thanks for the call.
I think they could all cash in at this point.
All right, let's go to Steve in Woodland Hills. Good morning, Steve.
How you doing today?
Good, thanks.
Hey, Lisa, what's up?
Hi, Steve.
How does this strike you?
Oh, it bothers me a lot.
Because?
Okay, thanks for calling.
Could you expand on that, perhaps, Steve?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's part of the job. Just like Sal said, you know, as a probationary firefighter or a rookie, you know what, it's just part of the game. They want to see, you know, when you get hired, male, female, whatever, they want to see if they can live with you for the next 30 years in a firehouse.
Right.
And that's and put your life on the line and vice versa. Can they trust you when it really hits the fan? And that's just part of the games they play to see if you're mentally tough.
Steve, are there any lines that you're not supposed to cross that you know is over the line?
You know what? You're not supposed to physically put that person's health or safety in danger. And you know what? I could probably tell you in the last 10 years that hasn't happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure back in the old days, yeah, there's probably some stupid stuff that went on.
Right.
But nowadays, you know what? We never put anybody's life or health or safety in danger, because if they got to go home, we've just shortened our crew and now we got to call back and it's overtime for the city and it's just a big pain.
Right.
So, you know what? Yeah, you get water dumped on you, water balloons, you know, fake calls in the middle of the night. Big deal. You go back to bed. You know?
What do you think about making a guy eat dog food? Is that out of line, or is that pretty consistent with some of the other stuff you do?
You know what? That's not even that bad on the grand scale.
That's what I think. It looks like it's a kind of a pussy hazing.
Yeah, I've had dog food, and you know what? This guy apparently shaving somebody else's genitals, I think that's a lot worse.
I would say so too, yeah.
Steve, you know let me ask you this. If you're the judge in this case, they come to you and they say, Steve, we're going to let you settle this. You've heard the evidence. What do you think? How do we treat this? What do we do? Do you pay the guy off? Do you say thanks for playing and send it back to the firehouse? What do you do?
Absolutely not. You don't pay the guy off, because then you're just going to get a bunch more of these cases. And
I agree.
It's a great department. It's one of the best in the world. It's one of the biggest also, so you're going to have personnel problems.
Hey, Steve, one question. I mean, there's a big movement now to stop hazing because these guys will sue. Is that possible?
No. Especially in a department like LAFD. It's so big.
Well, we're going broke then.
That's why they need to fight it.
This is a
problem.
Because
if they fight it and it gets turned down, then it won't be.
What if they fight it and he wins?
What if they fight it and he wins and it's $10 million instead of $2.5 million?
Then we're screwed.
Still worth it? Still worth taking it to trial?
Thank you, Steve. I think so. I think
you
have to.
What have you proven?
What happens?
I
would take the risk. You have to turn those people down. You just have to. Because you know what? Here's the biggest problem. There is racism going on. And the people who really suffer racism, no one cares about anymore, because all we hear is racism, 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 where it looks like there isn't any. And at some point, it's overload, and you go, I can't listen to another person say racism.
Yeah.
And then the real people who really need help, they're the people who should be angry, because they're not going to get any help, because all these false people ruined all the goodwill of everybody else. I mean, those are the people that should be the most upset. Wes in Huntington Beach, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Wes.
Tell us how you were hazed. This looks funny.
Okay, let's just say it was a cold night to begin with, and it doesn't matter who you are in the fire service, you're going to get hazed.
Right.
And the bigger you are, that doesn't get you out of it. That just means more people are coming to haze you.
Right.
So we were sitting down getting ready for dinner when all of a sudden another engine came in, and I'm like, what are these guys doing here? I was only there for about 2 months, so I really didn't know. Well, all of a sudden, seven guys dragged me out of my chair, stripped me naked, shaved my entire body, strapped me to a backboard, dragged me on top of the firehouse, and leave me there for 12
strapped
hours.
You to a board? For 12 hours,
you ever
they left you there?
When people get in car accidents, we can put them on a backboard.
Right, sure.
You know? So I got put down on the backboard and tied to a flagpole.
For 12
hours on the roof of the firehouse.
Awesome.
And there's nothing more embarrassing than when you're there for 2 months, everybody's wife coming by, when you've been on the roof for 5 hours, freezing cold, butt naked.
How much would you have paid just to have had to eat dog food?
Oh, I would have loved it.
Yeah, that's
not
sure.
I would have cooked it, sauteed it, and just been happy with it.
Dude, is it possible you're like 164th American Indian or something that you can now sue for?
Oh, I actually am like
150th
of an Indian. But
boom! Cash in, Wes.
Dude, cash in. Seriously, it was racist, man. They did it because it was racist.
I want to just take one more call. I know we're running a little late, but Anonymous is calling from Los Angeles and knows this guy personally.
Okay.
Anonymous?
Hey, how you doing?
We are good.
Hey, this guy's a great guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened. I've known the guy since he got on the job. Uh-huh. And he's the biggest turdster of anybody I know.
What does that mean?
What that means basically is, he likes to have fun and haze more than anybody I know.
So wow. He was into it.
Where he did this goes on constantly. It's one of the funnest fire stations around. And this was like a prank gone bad or something. But, I mean, this is nothing as far as the whole race thing's an absolute joke.
That's what I think.
I wonder if someone got a hold of him, like one of our former employees.
Listen,
who sued.
We had an
got
employee
a hold of him and told
who worked
him.
With us for like 5 or 6 years. I invited him to my wedding. He came over to my house 5 or 6 years. And his friends got a hold of him and said, hey, by the way, they're totally making fun of you, blah, blah, blah. He sued us and claimed that he was forced against his will to do everything he did for all 5 years. He didn't want to do one of it. And we were somehow forcing him to do it. He claimed that in court. I mean, it can happen. Your friends talk to you, and you feel like you're being had.
You know what I think? What happened? Some slimy lawyer got to him, and there was some payday, or because this guy is really a good guy. He's funny. He's fun to be around, and a good fireman. But someone got to him, and now this has turned into a black and white political issue. Has nothing to do with any of that.
Right.
And it's just exploding. It's really sad because it disgraces the fire department. Because now the media's taken it and ran with it to where, I mean, it's ridiculous. Because Tinney, I mean, he's just, and he's not a racist guy. This guy, I've never seen any of this with him.
Do you think he really believes that this was racism against him, or is he just doing it for the money?
Not a chance. He knows it's not racism because everything was done there back and forth every day in jest. Nothing dangerous.
And you're saying he's just doing it for the money. He's just cashing in because he has the opportunity to, and he doesn't even believe it.
And it's sad. It's sad because the guy, like I said, is a really good guy, and someone slimy's gotten a hold of the guy.
Yeah.
And now it's turned into, again, you saw it on the front page of the paper.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, man. You get a $2.5 million payout. You don't ever have to eat dog food again. You can buy whatever you want to eat, man.
I think how much of that money is going to go to the slimy lawyer who's up there with him.
Yeah, and it's all taxpayer dollars, too. I'd like to just make an announcement right here and now. If any of you want me to eat dog food, thanks for calling.
You'll do it for a whole lot less.
Yeah, if any of you want me to eat dog food, I'll do it for, say, $500,000.
Sweet.
Anyone?
No.
I need to warn the affiliates that we're running long here because we have way, way too much stuff to cover. We're going to be talking to Harvey the Hammer Levin coming up between 9 and 9:30 with a bunch of Britney news. But, Ralph, you uncovered something else that's going on in the world of beautiful Britney that you want to share with us.
Well, God bless the K-Rock listeners. I was mentioning yesterday in the showbiz beat that Britney was selling off 170 different personal items to raise money for the Britney Spears Foundation, which is a charity that helps needy children.
Right.
And amongst these items that they had listed was a high school book report that she had written based on a English translation of Sophocles' Antigone.
All I know about that is some person married their mom.
Oedipus Rex. Right. Different Greek drama.
Sorry, I don't know that one then.
But she had to write a report, and I said, I want desperately to buy and read that report because I can only imagine how freaking stupid she is and how hilarious it would be to
read. Don't talk about our queen that way.
I'm sorry. And God bless the K-Rock listeners. Apparently, one of the pages of the opening page of this report is already up online. And so I got sent several copies.
Excellent.
Pictures of the actual page in her handwriting of the first page of her book report on Antigone. So
with
I
her
thought,
handwriting, it seems like she would have like little hearts over the eyes and things.
Just about.
Like Bean does.
There aren't actually any smiley faces over the eyes, but it's just about that kind of penmanship. And so I thought it might be fun for me to read for you the first page of her book report on Antigone.
Do we have some kind of classical music, some kind of book report? Because this is Book Report
book
Thursdays.
Report music.
And it's funny. Antigone is spelled A-N-T-I-G-O-N-E. And you just know that she called it Antigone. Yeah. You know it. You know that she called it Antigone.
This story is called Antigone.
Antigone. Will this work?
Perfect.
Yeah, that's good.
Antigone. Antigone is about a girl who loses, L-O-O-S-E-S.
Loses
her brother during a war. She wants to bury them. I'm sure she meant him, but she wants to bury them. But the new king, Creon, will not allow it.
Aww.
And who shall ever do so shall be killed.
What?
Like she didn't just...
She copied that right,
out of the book. And who shall ever do so shall be killed. Antigone wants her brother buried because she wants him to be able to be in the heaven of ghosts.
What?
I am not kidding you.
In the heaven of ghosts?
In the heaven of ghosts. So she goes out and buries him. There was a rumor, T-H-E-I-R, was a rumor, R-O-O-M-E-R.
Great.
Do you know what year this was? Is freshman, sophomore, junior, senior?
I don't know exactly what year it was.
Would have been about 8 years ago, probably 8 or 9 years ago, I guess, right?
There was a rumor about her burying her brother, so the gourds... She means guards.
Guards, sure.
The gourds keep a good lookout. Finally, they catch her. They take her to the king. She, king's son, is supposed to marry her.
What?
Sure, she met the king's son.
She writes like Doto.
She does. Is supposed to marry her. By the way, not supposed. Is supposed to marry her. The son begs his father to have mercy, but nothing stops him. He puts her in a chamber. A advisor comes along and warns him that the gods are angry with him. He gets scared too. He lets her go.
Oh, this is magic.
Wow.
He gets scared, by the way, G-E-T apostrophe S, gets scared too. He lets her go, L-I-T-S.
Okay.
Lets her go.
I think Brittany is now writing for the K-Rock website, by the way.
Where they get to the chamber, they find her dead because of suicide. Her soon-to-be husband kills himself because he can't stand the thought. Britney Spears.
So
I'm hot.
So she's putting that up for sale.
Yes.
She herself is putting that into the public sphere.
That's just the first page.
We need the rest of it.
Whatever it costs. I'm telling you. We need to bid whatever it costs.
8:59, now time for the Ralph Showbiz Bee. What you got, Ralph?
Regarding that last segment, listen, Robert writes in, Ralph, please stop reading Kevin's book report. So I apologize. I didn't mean to do that.
That was Brittany.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Mine wouldn't have made that much sense.
Top 10 money-making actresses in Hollywood. That list has been released today by The Hollywood Reporter. You can pick it up on newsstands everywhere. For the first time in, 5 years, Julia Roberts is not at the top of the list.
Wow.
First time in 5 years.
She hasn't worked in like 5 years.
She's not on the list at all this year.
Huh.
I guess because she hasn't worked.
Yeah.
Here's the top 10 money-making women in Hollywood. Jennifer Aniston makes about $8 million per motion picture. Puts her at number 10. Then Kirsten Dunst. About $9 million per film. Angelina Jolie is number 8. Charlize Theron is 7. Unacceptable, Hollywood! Oscar winner!
She's amazing.
Halle Berry is number 6. She makes about $14 million. Charlize Theron makes about $11 million. Halle Berry makes $14 million. Come on.
Yeah, what's up with that? I think Charlize may be the best actress on that list, by the way.
I think you may be right. Cameron Diaz is number 5. Drew Barrymore. $15
million. Oh, that's tight.
Per film makes her number 4. Renee Zellweger is number 3, Reese Witherspoon number 2, and number 1 at about $17 million per motion picture, Nicole Kidman. She nabbed her career best salary for the film that's coming out in August of next year, The Invasion. I'm not sure what that's about.
Good for her. She's a good actress.
She is a good actress.
She really has no filter on what are good movies and what are bad movies, though. I mean, she picks bad ones.
She makes some interesting choices.
Right,
she makes interesting choices.
Yeah.
I think she does whatever catches her fancy at the moment.
But Bewitched? How can Bewitched catch your fancy?
Because she was a big fan of the TV series when she was a kid, and she got a chance to... I mean, on paper, the thing looked great. Nora Ephron,
True. Yeah.
Writer. You know, yeah. Will Ferrell is your co-star. I mean, I bet she thought this is a good project. And she loved the show.
I guess if she didn't read the script before she signed, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
No Seinfeld for you!
Uh-oh.
Reverend Jesse Jackson is calling for a boycott of the latest Seinfeld DVD package of Season 7 as a way of exacting economic punishment for Michael Richards' racist meltdown at the Life Laugh Factory on November 17th.
Look, he ate dog food, okay? That
no,
doesn't
that, no,
because
different.
He was black.
No, it's a whole other thing.
It's funny, though, that he would punish everybody else who was in that show.
Yes.
it's not just a Michael Richards
Elaine
project.
Elaine must also pay. George must also pay. Apparently the whole cast has to get it.
But he went on his show and apologized.
That's what I can't understand.
He did, yeah.
Michael Richards went on Jesse Jackson's syndicated radio show to apologize, and Jesse was... really is sort of on his side, I thought, during that interview. And then after the interview, he comes out and says, you can't buy his DVD.
Huh. Yeah. And by the way, you're right. You make a good point, Kevin. If I'm Jason Alexander, I'm raising my hand going, hey, I didn't really have anything to do with this.
I didn't say the N-word.
David must be taught a lesson. Do we have some of Jesse talking to Michael Richards about the fact that he might need some psychological help.
This may be the best quote ever from Michael Richards.
You said you use it as a way to punish and fight back, and maybe that becomes the line.
Well, that's where I need to go and get some help. I need to drop down and get my thing together, Reverend Jackson.
Yes, Reverend Jackson. I need to drop down and get my thing together.
Sometimes you need to do that.
I'm so making up a t-shirt that says that. I need to drop down and get my thing together.
Even just
like an off-Broadway show.
Even Jesse Jackson must have looked at him and thought, what are you talking about?
I need to drop down and get my thing together, and my arm's too short to box with God.
Exactly.
Jerry Richards' new show.
Keep that faith. Stand with the chicken workers.
All right, Jesse, thank you.
A Jeff Seinfeld must pay a price. Happy celebrity birthday to Ridley Scott. Very, very talented director. That Gladiator, that's a movie and a half.
That is a great movie.
69 years old today. Billy Idol turns 51.
Ridley Scott is the one that has Deja Vu out right now. I think that's his
I agree with you. He worked with Denzel Washington also on Man on Fire, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Those guys are good together. He's got a very talented brother director, too. Ridley Scott does.
Yes, he does.
Tony Scott.
Yes. This conversation has ceased to interest me.
Well, then we'll just stop having it, Kevin, because the whole goddamn show.
Keep that faith. Stand with the coal miners.
Keeping you entertained.
Oh, we want to hear about Ridley Scott's brother.
Who's a big director, too.
He's got the Russell Crowe movie out right now. The Good Year is by Tony Scott.
There you go. Ben Stiller celebrates his 41st birthday today. Clay Aiken turns 28. Why do you laugh, Psycho Mike?
Because you said Clay and not gay.
Oh. Alicia Cuthbert is 24 years old today. How ironic. She was on the show 24.
Right.
And today she's 24. That is weird.
That's crazy.
It's nuts. What else? Oh, Sandro.
You don't know. You have the list.
I know, but see, there's a big debate going on even now in the office when she was born. We can't decide if it was July 20th or if it's today. We don't know.
Really?
Does anyone vote? Who cares?
I think that's the majority, actually.
All right. Okay, good.
So, who cares? Sandro's birthday. Who cares? I'm Ralph Garland.
Or not.
I walk the showbiz beat.
How about that?
That's over.
So that song ends.
Yeah.
And then we come on.
You think?
That's how it works?
That's kind of what we're supposed to do.
Got to get into practice.
We'll check in with Harvey the Hammer Levin from TMZ.com in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Yeah, you're listening for Everlong by Foo Fighters. When it plays, that's when the tickets go on sale for both nights of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006. All the details at K-Rock.com. It could play next. It could play in 5 hours. It could play tomorrow. We don't know yet. But when you hear Everlong, that's your cue to call. You don't line up. There's no wristbands. There's no at locations. It's just on the phone and on the internet. And again, all the details at krock.com. How about some emails? It's been a long time since we've gone to the email bag, and we got some great questions and some great comments from our listeners. We always enjoy hearing from you. Here's one from Andrew, and I think we may have to carve out some time for this on a future show.
Okay.
Kevin and Bean, this email, by the way, the subject line is read this or death will be imminent. So I knew it was important. Kevin and Bean, think about it. Panda bear versus a midget. I know it's tough. You tell me the outcome. Peace out. Andrew from Los Angeles. A panda bear and a midget.
You mean in a fight?
I assume he means in a fight, yeah.
What? Panda bear would tear a midget apart.
I would think
Midgets are almost human, though. You know, they're very crafty. Got to keep that in mind. They are just above the intelligence of a panda bear.
We were talking yesterday to Kevin Smith, and we were talking about the Britney shot on the websites as of late. Dude, where's the website where I can view that shot of Britney? I just caught the end part where you were discussing it this morning. Help a brother out. And then I got this one, and this is funny from Brandon. Good show again today, guys. What was the Britney Spears site again? My friend wants to know. You can see it at thesuperficial.com or Perez Hilton. I think they have it too.
Yeah, they do.
It's so funny. The people who email us because they can't find stuff. You're lame if you can't find Britney Spears naked on the internet.
Yeah.
That's one of the easiest things in the world to do.
You need to learn to search.
Exactly. This is an email from K-Rock listener Michael. Hey, what's up, my honorable gentleman of African-American heritage? Can't be too careful after that ugly Michael Richards incident. I don't know if you guys saw this with the holiday weekend just passed and all, but I heard it on the news. I didn't catch all the details, but it was reported that some guy is going to celebrate New Year's this year by setting a new Guinness World Record by rolling and smoking the world's largest joint, 112 grams of marijuana.
Nice.
It's a quarter pounder. It kind of makes you wonder why Dave chose 2.5 days in front of a TV as his bid for glory, doesn't it? God bless America.
He chose that twice and never got in the book.
Dude, we may have to talk to him. Yeah, come on.
No question about that.
Speaking of good ideas, how about this one, Kevin and Bean? I think it's a great idea. Think of the joy and laughter it would bring to the people that participate in Talk Like Bob Dylan Day.
Yes.
How funny would that be? The mass confusion of people trying to figure out what the F you're trying to say. I think it'd be fun. Sean.
Now I'm in. Yesterday we were talking about great Christmas gifts, and K-Rock listener Carlos sent me this email, and he puts the best in-home body fat monitor. To view the details about this item, go to this particular website, Hammacher Schlemmer.
Okay.
And Carlos writes, what's better than letting someone you know, someone you love, think that they are really fat? That's the perfect Christmas gift.
We need to get that for Bean.
Here you go, buddy. Here's your in-home body fat monitor. Step right up on there and let's see how fat you are. Merry Christmas. Yes.
The quickest way to get a divorce is to buy your wife a bathroom scale or something like that for Christmas.
Oh,
two more quick emails and then Harvey the Hammer Levin from TMZ.com. Hey, Kevin and Bean, have you heard about the new bands for Acoustic Christmas? I heard This Joke Stopped Being Funny a Long Time Ago is playing at night number one. It's going to be great. I sure hope Stop Beating This Dead Horse plays next year. All right, Bill, thank you for that. I think we know what you're saying.
He's saying, you know, but what he doesn't know is that Subterranean Bearded Women of the Super Boner. Wait, that's two of them. That's two bands put together.
I think it's Subterranean Bearded Women of the Moscow Underground.
Yeah, and then Super Boner is the other band that's playing. All right, I got it. Okay.
And finally, look, we know Jed and we've known Jed for a long time, but please don't write to us and ask us to explain Jed, okay? Because we know we can't. There's just no way. I was listening to the radio a few minutes ago, said Nolan from Redlands, and Jed was on explaining the difference between heavy, medium, and light traffic. Jed says the definition of light traffic means that, quote, you can sit in the number two lane with a glue gun and make a popsicle stick house, end quote. That's the definition of light traffic. Man, I am sure going to miss Jed when he inevitably overdoses. Sincerely, Nolan from Redlands, California. Jed, explain to me, what are you doing in the number two lane when you're out there on the 405? What's the difference?
I'm in the number two lane mostly to do number two because we know I don't like to do it in the toilet.
I don't think that was ever proven.
Quaaludes. Carol Q.
I was listening to the radio a few minutes ago, said Nolan from Redlands, and Jed was on explaining the difference between heavy, medium, and light traffic. Jed says the definition of light traffic means that, quote, you can sit in the number two lane with a glue gun and make a popsicle stick house. End quote. That's the definition of light traffic. Man, I am sure going to miss Jed when he inevitably overdoses. Sincerely, Nolan from Redlands, California. Jed, explain to me, what are you doing in the number two lane when you're out there on the 405? What's the difference?
I'm in the number two lane mostly to do number two because we know I don't like to do it in the toilet.
I don't think that was ever proven.
Quaaludes. Carol Q.
It's time for your phone calls. Kevin Amin's What It Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. You call, you get on the air, you get a prize.
And today it's two prizes for you. We have a pair of tickets to the International Motorcycle Show at the Long Beach Convention Center. That's coming up December 8th through the 10th. And also a pair of tickets to see Warren Miller's new film called Off the Grid. Some of the most unbelievable photography you've ever seen is in those Warren Miller movies. So you'll have a good time.
You know, Warren Miller has another new film called I'm Gonna Drop Down and Get My Thing Together.
Is that right?
Oh, really?
That's
excellent. Yeah, it's really good.
Here's a little clip from that.
I need to drop down and get my thing together.
And then it kick into a beat.
Right. And it's all slaloms.
Anita in Glendale, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, what to do, baby boo?
My nephew called 411 from his grandma's house for about, I don't know, about 80 times to try to get Vanessa Hudgens' phone number from High School Musical.
Oh my God.
She got, the funnier part is that she got a big fat bill of $70 from 411.
This is a good topic to bring up because we have a person here at K-Rock that is telling us that 411 calls cost $2 per.
That's just not true.
Every single time, every single time you call 411,
that's just not true.
$2. It might be.
$2 a pop, Lisa?
I think it might be.
Guys, I think what it is, I think you might, I don't know anything about this, I'm just guessing, but I think you may get a certain amount of calls for free, but then once you go beyond that, then they start charging $2 a call.
Anita, do you have an answer to how much per call, do you know?
I have no idea. It used to be, back in the day, it used to be only $1.25, if it's $2 now.
Have you guys ever tried to get an address from 411? Ever? Oh, forget about it.
Yeah,
I'd
impossible.
Like an address. Can you give me an address? What for what listing? For I need an address, though. I don't want a
here's
phone number.
310. No, yeah. But can I get the address for that?
No, she's already put you through to the answering machine by then.
Yeah.
Bastards.
Anita, I'm sorry to hear your tragic tale. Hey, let's call 411 right now and ask them what it's costing us. And then they'll say, what number, please?
I think they changed over our system, our phone system today.
Nationwide directory assistance.
They didn't in here. They did on all the other phones, but not in here.
Ooh.
They have it set up now at K-Rock, so you can call information, but it goes to a free information number.
1-800-FREE-411.
Yes, and you have to listen to a commercial for 10 seconds right. Before you're allowed to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
That's the kind of place we're running here. Hi, this is the Kevin and Bean Show. We're on the radio, and we are curious how much a call to 411 costs us.
It's 46 cents a call.
Thank you,
46
ma'am.
46 cents. Thank you.
That's not bad.
Bye now.
Completely reasonable. 46 cents.
Yeah.
How about that? Just 46 cents.
And not
cents.
$2 either, by the way.
Nope.
A liar.
Not
he's a close. Liar. He's a feral cat lover and a liar.
He is.
We need to take him out and beat him.
We should chop him up and feed him to the cats.
He's a feral.
How dare you.
Danny and Rosemead, good morning.
Hey, yeah.
Hey, yeah.
Good morning, everybody.
Let's call it.
Danny.
Let's call it. Let's change the name of this feature to Kevin and Bean's Hey, yeah.
Hey, yeah, Danny. There's going.
Hey, yeah.
Danny.
Hey, yeah. What's going on, Danny?
Yeah, this happened a couple of weeks ago. This guy pulled a fighter jet at an aircraft museum in Palm Springs, about 2 meters with his penis.
Oh, that's not possible.
No, it's. I've seen other articles on it, but
this guy tied a rope around his penis and pulled a jet fighter.
Yeah, it weighs a couple of 1,000 pounds, and he pulled it with his penis about 2 meters. It took about at least half an hour.
His penis is 2 meters?
No. He pulled the plane 2 meters.
I'm confused.
Wow,
how did he's Asian?
Yeah, he is. You know the whole. He moved it to certain part of his body,
uh-huh.
And he moved it.
Okay. Well, look, if anyone has any information on this story and this guy, I think we need to speak with him and find out what's up with that.
Well, if he's Asian,
he has a link on the website.
Okay, cool.
If he's Asian, his penis is very close to his body, so it might just be pulling with like his hips. You know, it might be the same thing.
And I was wondering if maybe this is what he's trying to do to make it bigger. Maybe this is his in lieu of surgery, is he just stretches it by pulling a plane? Yeah,
they had to hook it to his penis with dental floss. See, because it's small.
Exciting story.
All right, thank you for the call. Let's go to Josh, who is calling us from Long Beach. Good morning, Josh. What to do, nephew?
What to do, nephew? Hey, I got a couple things. First, I was talking with my buddy, and he was listening to Ryan Seacrest this morning.
Huge error of judgment on his part.
Yeah. But anyways, Ryan Seacrest is talking about a near accident that he was almost in.
Right.
And his reason for the swerving part of the accident.
Let me guess. He was putting on blush.
No, close. No, he actually saw a bug flying into his windshield, and he tried to swerve out of the way.
To avoid the bugs?
To avoid the bug?
Really?
Yeah, he said it on his show.
Did he say if it was, I mean, was it a Buddhist thing that he didn't want to hurt the bug, or is he just trying to avoid the mess on his windshield?
I think he didn't want to get hit by the bug on his face and didn't realize that it was not going to go through the windshield.
Ryan has never shied away being hit in the face with anything.
Oh! No! That's it! Well, that's just dumb.
Hey, speaking of Ryan Seacrest, Ralph, tell me during House you saw the promo for The Chick on the American Idol in January. Tell me you saw the woman who's not a very good singer.
Not a
good singer.
Not a good singer.
She's good. good.
They promoted her as good.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah. Bean's just an a-hole.
Who is she? Not a good singer.
We don't know. She was singing Amazing Grace or something, but she is diabolical. She's just stunning and giant boobs and just...
She's a 10.
She's amazing.
I like so Mean.
And she's saying American Idol coming up in January. Is this the one? And they showcased her singing and everyone was just looking at her, just gazing and smiling, and she was singing very well.
Believe me, I didn't think she was good in that clip, but I hope she wins. I mean, I don't care. You know, I just want her to win because I want to see her on my TV every minute of every day.
She's no Catherine McPhee, but she was very hot.
Well, who is?
No threat there from Ryan Seacrest, I'll tell you that. Steven in Santa Monica, good morning.
Hey, what up? What up, dude?
Hey, Danny DeVito, thanks for calling.
I think it was two Sundays ago. I went to Houston's on Wilshire and Second to eat steakhouse.
Right.
And saw Luke Wilson there sitting at the bar by himself, and he was hammered.
He was just drinking at the bar by himself?
By himself. He started off with two or three beers and then moved on to screwdrivers.
That's kind of sad.
I like him more now than I did before.
Sure.
And he was wearing, like, dirty-ass clothes, so...
Wow. I
mean, he had a rough night, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he was depressed. He was like, yeah, I'm a movie star, I'm rich, and I'm really lonely.
Wow.
Now, yeah. Luke's the brunette with the short hair, right?
That's right. That's correct, yes. Yeah. He used to date Gwyneth Paltrow.
I just want to make sure this guy knows which one we're talking about, whether it was Owen or Luke.
Totally drunk by himself. That's awesome.
Huh.
All right, we got to take Gil's call. I know you guys need him. Listen,
Kevin.
Listen to me. This is a guy who we talked to.
Sorry, we're out of time.
We talked to for 10 years on and off.
That's your mistake.
He has a bit of a drinking problem.
Time for another guest.
Gil?
Hey, look, my girlfriend always said, she goes, the well is dry.
Hey, Gil, hold on one sec, Gil, hold on one sec. Psycho Mike, Ralph, Lisa, me, let's just all get up and walk out.
Hey, wait.
Seriously, it's time.
No, but
it's
wait.
Time. Let's just all get up and walk out because that'll be the way we stop him from going to Gil on what it is.
Kevin's guest.
But
yeah, this is an intervention.
But
have a good show, everybody. See you later.
A little Gilly.
But.
A silly Willy Gilly.
His girlfriend is pregnant. Wait a minute, Gil. His girlfriend is pregnant! Lisa!
Yes! That's what the monkey dude found. Love, nothing but love. God, but it's scary. That's why I'm going to get a job at the border to build the fence. Hello?
Oops, can't put that part on the air. Okay, thank you for calling, Gil. That's very nice. 9:54, that's it for the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks to everybody that was on the program. Bean usually does the thanks, so I have no idea who to thank. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, I think, is pretty much the only one. Tomorrow morning, we have Josh Duhamel from NBC's Las Vegas. We got Bob Saget, 1 vs. 100. We have Movie Beat because it's Friday, and we are going to have a rap battle. Guys, Gil's no longer on the phone! We're going to have a rap battle between Kevin Federlesi and DJ Dirty Bomb, better known as Omar. That's all tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we'll tell you how you can win tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006. And if you missed the announcement earlier this morning, you're listening for Everlong by the Foo Fighters. When you hear it, that is when tickets go on sale for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006. Gil, hug up! Damn it.